Blog Talk Radio.
We've just learned that world-renowned Thor Ministry and Brother Sharif, guarded by heavy security, has just landed by helicopter on top of the United States District Court of New York. Thor Ministry is a consumer protection group that has aided hundreds of consumers and homeowners to protect themselves from abusive debt collectors. Thor and Brother Sharif are the most elite educators of consumers to fight against abusive debt collectors. We're awaiting a verdict from the court of another trial against a huge debt collector named Bain Collection Agency, Inc. Bain is the hugest debt buyer agency who has stolen more homes, collected more illegitimate debts from consumers than any debt collection agency in the country. However, Bain has never met the likes of Thor and Brother Sharif. The scene is chaotic. The jury has reached a verdict and we are awaiting word of the outcome. Bain Collection Agency brought their best attorneys to defend this case against Thor, but they were no match for Brother Sharif and his consumer students. Wait a minute, I'm hearing from my producers and affiliate stations that we now have a verdict from the jury. And the jury ruled in favour of Thor and Brother Sharif. So there you have it. Thor wins again against the bully debt collectors, Bain. Thor leaves the courthouse and boards a helicopter waving to the consumers. Listen to Thor Radio Network on Blog Talk Tuesdays at 11 a.m. EST. You too can beat your debt collectors with Thor.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you just for a minute.
Brother Sharif, and Thor Ministry Radio.
Welcome to Thor Radio Network, the House of Restoration Ministry. This is your host, Brother Sharif, the Lion of Judah. Coming forth, gathering with community in the land of Babylon. Today is August the 29th, 2014. We are live here today on this Good Friday, Free Your Mind Friday, and also part two of our Violence in America series. We have a lot to cover today. We have several guests invited. A lot of information to cover, a lot of information to discuss. We're going to move fast in preparation for today's show. Our first part will be featured with Greg Doss of GregDoss.com. We're going to discuss the plight of the American family, both black and white. Just to let everyone know, first of all, I have to give all praise and honor to the Most High, for without him I am able to do nothing. With him I am able to accomplish all. The Creator is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. I thank him for allowing you to be here today, to come together as a people to address the issue of violence in our country. Today is going to be a special day. It is a very sensitive topic. However, the Creator and the universe allowed us to have a very meaningful discussion on last Friday. Many hearts and minds came together, and we intend to do the same today. Make a couple announcements right quick before I get into a couple of videos in preparation of the show. Tomorrow we will be doing, Thor will be having a webinar on post-foreclosure methods and strategies. It is tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email us at debtshow@yahoo.com to reserve your seat. There are a few seats left. If you are dealing with foreclosure or post-foreclosure, you definitely need to be in attendance at this seminar tomorrow. For those of you that have not heard about Thor's webinar, and educational material is something that I'll just let you ask your neighbor. I hate to judge myself, but we give out information that is relative. We feel we cover information that is not offered anywhere else. So join us tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Email us to reserve your seat in that particular webinar. The call-in number for today is 657-383-0332, 657-383-0332. We are not going to take a lot of calls at first. We have a great deal of information to cover. Our invited guests, again, are True Freeman from Straight Exposing Them, the Blue Pill and the Red Pill from KTL Radio. Know the Ledge Radio here on Blog Talk has also been invited. I believe either both brothers or one of them will be appearing today. I believe one is already here. Sister Unique is an invited guest, and of course we're going to start off with Greg Doss here at around 11:30. So I'm going to be moving quick. I'm going to let my panel come in right quick, give the word of the day, and that's all we're going to need today from the mother. We're going to do word of the day, and then I'm going to get into some videos in preparation for the show. Mother, how are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm fine. I realize we're moving fast. Hello and happy Free Your Mind Friday. Welcome to Soul, where the focus is education, empowerment, and enlightenment. We're just happy to have everybody here. Please keep in mind that the things that are being discussed here today are not illegal, unlawful, prohibited, or immoral. We're not lawyers, judges, experts, or tax experts, or anything. We just want you to be mindful of the information being given. Do your own due diligence and proceed with extra caution, extra care. Welcome, welcome. Happy Friday. Thank you.
Mother, we appreciate it. I'm going to do a sort of a prayer for everyone, some words of wisdom, words of comfort, hopefully, for some of you. And then what I'm going to do for the next 15 or 20 minutes, I want you to sit back and listen to several audio clippings regarding violence in America, regarding women, regarding the family, regarding so-called white, black people, some comments on racism, some comments on economics. I want you to sit back and take very good notes, mental notes of some of the opinions that are out there. Please understand that we're playing and discussing a lot of information does not mean that Thor agrees with or supports any of the information we discuss here. We are coming together as a community in common unity to discuss issues that may be sensitive to some and may be reality to others. So we ask that you keep that in mind and do not hold us accountable for any thoughts of opinions or topics that are going to be discussed today. So I just wanted to make that clear to everyone. In about 15 or 18 minutes, we're going to have our Greg Doss come in here after we play some of the audio clippings that you're going to hear. First of all, I just want to say to everyone out there, okay, and I want everyone to understand that we are experiencing a war against the people. What I mean by that, I don't mean war in terms of tanks, although we are experiencing some of that activity. But we are experiencing a worldwide war against the spirit of love, the spirit of caring, and the family structure. That is absolutely clear. We are experiencing a form of civil war, as I said on the last show. And please understand that when I say civil war is first an internal war. What it is it's a vicious enactment in the outside world as we're experiencing of the inner conflict that's going on within us. Be advised that this is no time for doubting your power, your spiritual power, your mental power, your emotional power. No time for hiding any cures that you may have for you, yourself, or your family. Everyone has taken this world, basically. And by all means, let's not have a closed mind. Because a closed mind cannot be reasoned with. No matter how open-minded we believe we are, we all have various points of views that do not capture the large picture. And we are not seeing the large picture today. We can all be optimistic when things go well. But it takes far more courage and spirit to believe in ourselves when things get rough. Today, things are rough. There is a lot of discontent, a lot of hatred. And please understand that all hatred begins as self-hatred. We all are experiencing a lot of guilt. And understand that guilt prevents old wounds from healing by keeping them forever open. So let the guilt go. Let the guilt go. Self-acceptance is self-love. Just wanted to say that for all as a prayer for peace and calm. First of all, internally, for it to be expressed outwardly. In preparation of our show, I see Brother Blue Pills there. I'll be getting to you in a few minutes. I want everybody to take notice of a few videos, audios that I prepared for the show, just to get our minds open and understand what's going on out in our world.
...72% of children being born in African-American communities to single parents is a frightening number.
Daniel Patrick Moynihan, in his report, said 29% of African-American children being born into out-of-wedlock households is a travesty. So if 29% is a travesty in 1965, what is 72% in 2013?
I wish I'd had a father who was around. Mm-hmm.
My name is Juana Chapman. I'm a single mom of three children.
Being a single mom is not easy at all.
Did you do your homework?
Single parenthood as a notion was not really present pre-colonization and pre-slavery.
African men took care of their children.
We haven't been in Africa in a long time. Most African Americans don't know much about Africa.
What are women looking for in a mate? They're looking for all the wrong things and are accepting less and less because the norms are telling them they're entitled to less and less.
I think it's problematic when our young people see our celebrities father multiple children with multiple women.
The government is taking a version of taking care of their children from the black man. The government is the daddy of the family.
The court asks for 17% of your income. So the father should have a minimum of 17% of the child's time. Honestly, I really think it should be 50% of the time.
If you have laws that encourage people on welfare to not have a man in the home, then guess what? People on welfare are not going to have a man in the home.
People who blame the government to say, well, the government is trying to hold me down, those are people who just talk a lot of crap.
It's about getting up every day in that house, showing how to respect a mother, showing how to live, showing work ethic, all of those things you teach on a daily basis, and that can't be done piecemeal.
It's a pretty disturbing epidemic.
It is beyond catastrophic.
It's a crisis.
It's devastating.
The 72% number.
72%.
72%.
Let's continue the conversation now. My five tips for African Americans prompted strong reactions, even some outrage, some anger, some shock. Our next guest has five tips for white people to improve race relations or improve their conditions. So anti-racism activist and author Tim Wise joins us now from Nashville. Tim, man, I got a scathing email from you. Why were you so mad at me?
I wasn't mad at you, man. I just think that the words Bill O'Reilly didn't go far enough should never be uttered by anyone in this country, let alone you. But, you know, that was my beef.
Well, my thing is that there are many things that Bill O'Reilly and I disagree on, but this just happens to be one subject where we agree on a few things. And so,
okay.
Don't, as I said, don't shoot the messenger, attack the message. So here, fix the message. So listen, you've been on this program. I was like, did Tim think this was the last conversation we were going to have about race? And you have been on this program 23 times since 2009, and that's the time that our booking department alerted you, not the times where I called you and personally asked you to be on this show. And we've had many conversations about race, about we've run the gamut. So this is it. So now let's have this conversation, since people were, you know, like, hey, you know, what about, why don't you talk about what white people can do? You say, stop dodging the issue by saying things like slavery was a long time ago. Get over it. Why?
Right. Well, that's the operative deflection, right? The idea that when we're talking about racism, we're automatically talking about the period of enslavement. But when black and brown folks are talking about racism, they're talking about what's going on now. They're talking about stop and frisk. They're talking about racial profiling, 2 million cases of housing discrimination a year now, even though we have fair housing laws. So I think when white folks do this, sort of like, well, that was a long time ago, it's inaccurate, it's disingenuous, and it's really sort of inconsistent because, frankly, we love the past when it makes us feel good. That's what July 4th is. That's what those fireworks are. The American Revolution happened a really long time ago. White folks aren't over that one yet. So it seems to me we ought to at least understand history does matter, and it continues into the present.
Okay. I know that this is your life's work, but I want to get through this. I only have a certain amount of time. I don't want to get through all five of them. You said, assume that people know their own lives better than you do. In other words, black folks aren't crazy when they say they get profiled. I had that argument, I'm sure you remember, with a conservative radio host recently. Go ahead.
Absolutely. That one's self-explanatory. Right.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Stop saying you have a black friend as a get-out-of-racism-free card.
Right. I mean, the reality is, first of all, we say that we're oftentimes lying. We don't really. But more importantly, even if we have people of color in our lives, that would be like a straight man saying that he can't be sexist because he has a wife. Like, who would make that argument, right? Just because you have people who are close to you in a marginalized group doesn't mean that you don't carry any prejudice in the larger society. So that's not a get-out-of-racism-free card, and that's just not a legitimate response to the claim of racial bias.
Confront the long legacy of white denial when it comes to racism.
Yeah, this is a really big one. You know, the reality is I understand why white folks in 2013 might not see the problem, but what's really scary is that if you go back to 1962, 63, when we were still an apartheid country before civil rights laws had even been passed, between two-thirds and 90% of white Americans in Gallup polls at that time said that they thought black folks still had equal treatment in housing, employment, and schools. So I guess my challenge to white folks is, what does it say that even when racism was blatant, we didn't see the problem? And what does that mean for us now? If we didn't see it when it was blatant and we were wrong, and black and brown folks saw it and they were right, what makes us think that suddenly we've become really perceptive and they've lost their minds? That seems totally irrational to me.
Mm-hmm. Stop using statistics incorrectly to justify prejudice. And I think that one of those is talking about crime. We don't say white-on-white crime, but we say black-on-black crime. And then when you actually look at overall violent crime in the U.S. is coming down, it's still a crisis, especially in minority communities. It's still a crisis. People are still killing each other. But you said stop using statistics incorrectly.
What I mean by that is this. You know, people have tried to rationalize racial profiling and stop and frisk in New York, for instance, by talking about the disproportionate crime rate in black communities. But the reality is that data cannot be used to justify general suspicion of all black folks. In New York, for instance, out of the millions of stops that have been made, less than 5% of the time is even a citation given, let alone an arrest. Less than 2% do they find drugs. Less than 0.2% do they find weapons. So the reality that there's disproportionate crime in a certain community cannot be used to justify the kind of overgeneralization that racial profiling and stop and frisk have brought about in places like New York and around the country.
Mm-hmm. It was hard for you to cut it down to five, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had like 80. So folks who want to find out more can check it out on the website, or they can...
You said, quote, I don't want to make black people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money, when most of the people, as you know, on welfare are white people.
Yes, I'm doing it.
It is Entitlement Week on Fox Business Network. Star Parker, admitted former welfare cheat and president of CURE, is live with us now from Washington. Star, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, indeed it is. Now, look, we've been running clips earlier in the program of your interview with John Stossel, where you're mm-hmm. saying how easy it was to get a couple of checks a month to pay for your food and all the rest of it. Now, here's my question, though. When you were on welfare, when you were cheating on doing it, did you feel that you were cheating, or did you feel, hey, look, it's out there. I'm entitled to it. Give it to me. How did you feel when you were doing it?
I didn't have any feelings. I was also on drugs. It didn't matter because I bought the lie that poor people were poor because rich people were rich. And so I didn't have any problem with going on welfare to pay for my life. But now, remember, you didn't have to use your check to pay for food because you also get food stamps.
Okay, so when you were on welfare, you got, did you get cash welfare? You certainly got mm-hmm. food stamps. Your rent mm-hmm. was paid for. Medical mm-hmm. treatment was paid for. Was everything paid for by the government?
Yes, everything was paid for by the government. But keep in mind that Uncle Sam is cruel to the poor. These programs don't work for them. We have over 4,000 housing projects in this country. It's not working for the people. You just get addicted to it like any other drug, and you start depending on that life, and it just spirals you into a little dark hole.
So, look, I've been making the point this week that the recipients of this kind of extensive entitlement program, the recipients are actually destroyed by it. Now, that's a very strong thing for me to say. Would you agree with it?
I absolutely agree. The recipient is not only destroyed, their personal dignity, and then they become much more addicted all of their life. But the whole communities are destroyed. Let's look what happened, for instance, in the black community, the impact of this entitlement mentality and welfare, government dependency. After the war on poverty in the 60s, we began to see an unraveling of the entire black community because the family collapsed. During the 60s, the black family was pretty healthy. 78% of husbands were in their homes with their wives raising their children. But after this lure to government that said, you don't have to work, you don't have to save, you don't have to get married, over time marriage stopped occurring to where now 7 out of 10 black children are born outside of marriage. And what happens when you don't have that intact family is your values change. So your culture changes, so your community changes.
Well, you're out there now very publicly saying that the entitlement mentality is a very bad thing and destroys communities. What's the reaction to you now saying what you're saying?
Well, it depends on who I'm saying it to. Some give me death threats and others say, tell us more. How did you get out? And that's one of the reasons I wrote my book, Uncle Sam's Plantation, because I want people to understand that they don't have to live at the hand of the government. You know, I'm spending my life, as you said, I'm running an organization here in Washington, D.C., spending my life now, as I suppose, to pay back society to get everybody off of welfare. I just feel that there are some contributions that everybody can make without Uncle Sam telling them, don't worry about your life, just live off our hand from womb to tomb.
I just wonder, though, real briefly, get a lot of hostility?
Do I get hostility?
Yeah,
well, of course I do. Hey, being a black conservative in this society is social suicide. You live alone, you have a lonely life.
Well, welcome to the program. It's very good to have you with us, Star Parker. This is Entitlement Week, and you've...
Black History Month, you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well,
come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
No, I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism until...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. You're going to say, well, I know this white guy named Mike Wallace. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Welcome. Welcome back to Thor Radio Network, the House of Restoration Ministry. We're getting ready to reset, ready and restore. The family. Played you some selected audio clippings of some YouTube videos and news reports that are out there, providing to you a hybrid of different philosophies, beliefs, and statistics. Before I bring my guest in, Greg Doss, for the first half of the show, I wanted to demonstrate to you how the creator of the balanced universe works. When I spoke last Friday and gave my monologue on my personal experience growing up in this world and how I witnessed firsthand the destruction of family, I was speaking from the heart based on my firsthand knowledge. I find it ironic that upon searching today for some videos, that the last video that you heard with the sister speaking about welfare and how it destroys the family is almost verbatim to what I was saying. We come together today to speak about violence, and I think what started this barbecue on this topic was recent violence that we see with so-called African-American people. And we could single that out in many ways. But as the clippings, as we went on, I have to be honest and fair in my assessment that when we're dealing with economics and when we're dealing with welfare, we have to be real about the statistics, and those are that there are more so-called Caucasian and white people on welfare than there are blacks. We have to be real about our corporately owned news media outlets who love to portray a certain image of a certain culture of people. The statistics do not lie. There is not as many black people on welfare as there are white. There is not crime that is done more so by the black population than the white population, as your news media just recently told you. So I have to be real about that. Make sure we understand that I have to be balanced in our approach and our information. We have an issue, and every culture, I believe, has issues amongst it. The recent violence that we've seen in Ferguson and New York and elsewhere, with the two incidents in Ferguson, it's just part of the story. We can't ignore, although I might disagree with the reality of it, we can't ignore the Sandy Hook event, the Boston Marathon event, the Colorado movie theater shooting, the college campus shootings, which were allegedly done by so-called white people. And the reason for it, at least alleged, is based on a medicated society or medicated people. And of course, our biggest drug dealer in this country is the U.S. That's indicative of the recent passing of laws now allowing you to use marijuana because they deem it fit or appropriate, although they've put many white and black people in jail for possessing them. So we have to be real, and when we look at things, and my guest is probably one of the most rawest on these topics, going to have a lot to cover with them. We're going to talk about the welfare system. We're going to talk about poverty. We're going to talk about the prison system. Our government doesn't get involved with anything, and I said this last night, and I'll say it again. Our government doesn't get involved with anything that doesn't make money. Okay? As the young lady and the other shows depict, we all have contributions to make to an amicable society, both white and black. We all have issues and responsibilities, mindsets that have been transferred from generation to generation. I see it all. I see whites say that blacks are lazy and on welfare, and then I see some blacks that say that, well, we built the country, we're taking a rest. I hear it all. There's many trends of thoughts out there, and I cannot interfere with someone's reality and perception. However, once you come into a legal mind, you will tend to lean towards facts versus hearsay. Okay? And I'll just leave it on those two scales, black versus white, dark versus light. There's a lot of hearsay out there. There are people that will speak to you as if there are some facts. It's a lot about religion that is hearsay. We don't know. It's all about what you believe in. But we came together today to discuss some of the main issues, and we did so as well last night, to talk about some of the oppressions that our government and states, public officials, law enforcement puts upon us, and the obvious overreaching arm of government and the abuses of government, including our law enforcement officers. It appears real clear, and I'm going to open up my guest, Greg Doss, as well as Blue Pill. We're going to discuss some of these issues and try to cover as much as possible, because this gentleman I'm bringing in is subject matter relative on a diversity of topics. All right. We're experiencing right now one of the most alarming trends in American politics, and it appears as though our government and public officials are acting like ravening beast that loses its fear of humans. And we've seen in history where government becomes more dangerous when it loses control, they feel, of people that they never were allowed to control. I think we all maintain a certain balance within us. We all don't need someone telling us 6 million ways, 6 million codes and laws what we should be doing and should not be doing. If we took every law off the book today, those who are law-abiding and have morals and values will continue to be that way, and those who don't will continue to not be that way. But I want to make sure that we try to cover as much as possible. I'm going to bring my guests in, and we got a variety of things to talk about. What I'm going to bring in is Greg Doss. He's from gregdoss.com. He's a radio personality. Been so for some years right now. I just had the honor of meeting minds with him on yesterday for a couple of hours on a variety of topics along with Layla. And we share many of the same sentiments and views on many different things. One thing we do agree on is that we have a war rage against our women, and our women are being used in many ways to destroy, disintegrate the value of their men. And because of that, we have a society of fatherless children and menless women. That is forcing other issues in terms of women on women and men on men, as well as society issues regarding our kids, where our kids are suffering consequences because of that lack of family structure. We're going to talk about that topic. I'm going to open up Greg Doss's line. Greg Doss is also, he does a man mindset, which is a men's, I guess you would call it, support group. But what he discusses is relationship issues and women issues and men issues. You need to be over 18 if you ever stumble upon that show, because it's real raw. And he also is a co-host over there at High Frequency Radio, the network by which I've transferred from. But he's also a co-host over there, and he's on Wednesday evening at 8. You can catch him over there as well. But he has his own show. The gentleman is well-studied. He's well-researched. He's well-versed. And the subject matter we're about to get into. Also, I'm going to have on the panel discussing the things that myself and Greg, his brother Blue Pill from KTL Radio, know the ledge. And he is the twin of brother Red Pill. And they've been on radio probably just as long as Greg, since around 2008, running strong and probably one of the first in the conscious community to have a young, melanated network. So big props and honors to both of these gentlemen here. Blue Pill was here last week, and he's here again today. We appreciate him being here. Sister Unique is here. We will get to them because the next half will be the women coming out. So bear with us. We are not going to silence you, and we didn't do so last time. But we are going to discuss some things that the women need to hear and that the men need to hear. So, Greg, welcome to Thor Radio Network. Pleasure to have you, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you all for bringing me on. I'm always humbled by it. I didn't realize I even had any personality until you said so. So I appreciate it.
Brother Blue Pill, you there?
Peace. Yes, I am. Greetings.
Greetings, brother. Meet Greg Doss. Greg, this is Brother Blue Pill. We're brothers. We've been knowing each other some years. We grew up in the same area, Harlem, New York. Brother Blue Pill has a pretty big, large, probably one of the largest audiences out there. He's been doing documentaries, KTL Radio, KTL Documentaries. Great brother that's been out there putting out great information on a diversity of topics. Eventually, I think I need to connect you two brothers because I'm sure he can offer a lot to your show's audience, and that'll be a great connection for you. So we're trying to bring the good minds and the masters together to kind of put together smorgasbord of information so that the people can have different things to digest. So I welcome both of you brothers. Greg, let's get into this topic, man. We've got a lot to cover.
Before you start, I don't know if I'm a master or the other nice word that you use, but I'll try to do what I can do. But we'll see what happens.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, we love titles of nobility. I don't give them out lightly, so I would consider you definitely a master on our topic. And masters to me are those that have been in war. And we have a lot of teachers out here, but, you know, they teach on philosophy and thoughts. But you've actually been through these situations, so that would make you a master that you've come out. So, you know, in many occupations, as far as the military and law enforcement, you would have got some type of regalian, badge, or honor placed on you because you survived some particular war. So you've been through this system. When I say system, I don't necessarily mean the prison system, although you've been exposed to it, but your knowledge and your experience is something that needs to be shared amongst the men and the women to be able to give them the other side of what's going on. You know, I talked last week, Greg, and, you know, I started off with my personal experience, and I just touched upon how I grew up, and I've seen the destruction of family, and I experienced a separation of a mother and a father, and I've seen around that time in the 1960s, like the sister said, you know, the black family was intact. You know, mother and father, we were doing well. You know, everybody worked together, and I believe in the 60s after World War II, I was looking into history and seeing that the government came in so-called to stabilize, I don't know what, but there was a bridge put out there for the women to create some independency and separation from the man, for what reason, I don't know. And then that's when the Welfare Act came in. They started offering women Section 8 and housing and welfare and food stamps and cheese and bread and a cell phone, you know, coming up to these days here. You can get a cell phone as well and maybe a preloaded gift card. Okay, so those benefits are out there, and I believe it contributed to, for black and white, let me just say that, all right, because we have to understand based on statistics that there's more white people on welfare than that, so I'm sure they have that availability. However, I think there's a difference in the way they still go about treating the family structure. So I shared that experience with them, and I shared how I believe the government kind of led the women into a life of being manless and fatherless. And then after, of course, they look at them looking at the money aspect of it, then the women started feeding the brothers onto the system under the umbrella of child support. And that's something that I definitely want you to get into and talk about that particular industry, because you had experienced that, like most other men experienced that, you know, being out in the world, having fun as a young man or as a grown man, and having the experience of having kids, having children, and then, you know, dealing with, you know, subsequently to a child support agency and government agencies of which you found yourself being oppressed. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about that system, and if you want to, provide your own scenario of those events.
Well, I appreciate you all allowing me to come on. I apologize. My father had, I need my father really quickly about something involving my oldest daughter, which is kind of interesting you brought the family now. My parents were, they got divorced when I was about 16 years old, but the odd thing about it was they still managed to be parents. And whenever the issue, and I asked them about this years later, I said, you know, Mom, how did you, Dad, how did you do this? As far as when it came down to me and Chris, they said the only thing that was important to us was you two. Our differences remained our differences. So I never bought into this, that feckless argument that simply because two people could not coexist under the same roof, that they could not coexist as parents. Now, to what you speak of, I do absolutely believe that President Johnson's war on poverty was really just a war on the family. In fact, if everybody turns your attention to the Tangle Pathology, which is Patrick Moynihan's 1964 Department of Labor study, many of the problems that exist today have been amplified based upon information that they had back in 1964. And because of the archaic ways of gathering information, of course, they would have started studying on those particular models some probably 10 or 15 years earlier. But let's fast forward back to today. My parents were both military. They both retired military. So I had a pretty decent life growing up. I was raised in suburbia America. My brother's a professor, tenured at North Carolina A&T, and he was actually my motivation for wanting to go into education, as he was going to be labeled, believe it or not, Sharif, as a special education child because he had a speech impediment. But because my parents refused to allow that to happen to him, he had a speech impediment which had nothing to do with his mental capacity. And he subsequently overcame that because my parents were able to naturally put the necessary resources into that and went on from there. I guess I'd be considered to be the family's quote-unquote black sheep, as I fight any damn thing. I'm kind of like Thor. I don't really want to fight, but I sure love one. And I found myself mired in one with the child support system, which subsequently I was able to get remedy within the course of the child support system, because for one reason it's just unconstitutional under most circumstances. There's no way that they can tell you that you have to pay amount of money for a child based solely on the fact that there's no prerequisite for having children. If that were the case, needless to say, most people wouldn't be here. But the other part is that I do want to address something in one of your clips about the single mother issue. The father, the men fathering children, we need to at least have at some point an honest dialogue, and I'm going to keep it Greg and not Squid, relative to how children are brought into the world. Let's stop saying men are fathering children. I guarantee you, if men were really fathering children, you wouldn't see guys on these Maury Povich-style shows doing backflips when they learn that they're not the father. Men are not fathering children, women, unless he is giving you some indication that's his desire prior to him getting on top of you. Men are exercising sport. Is that clean enough, Sharif? We're not trying to be fathers. We're trying to get off.
Indeed, brother.
That was pretty difficult for me, by the way. But to calibrate it down that far. But, yeah, so I've had quite a few experiences, not only with the child support thing, with the license issues and a couple other issues. And unfortunately, I found myself in those situations. I really wanted to avoid it. I just speak truly to it. I was also, for those who know me as DJ Squid from the School of Dating, with Steve, the Dean Williams, who was the first person who gave me a form to speak how I felt. He heard me on the show ranting and brought me in, I guess sort of like you did. And from there, DJ Squid was essentially introduced to the rest of the world. But I did, my passion wasn't in teaching men how to get women. My passion when I was doing it was just getting women. And I try to get as many as I can. I make no bones about it. Not necessarily proud, but I'm not going to sit up here and lie. I tip the women like a fish takes the water. But he gave me the form. My passion is in political and social issues. So hopefully I did a good enough job without taking up too much of your time so that we can discuss the substance of whatever it is that we're here to discuss. But I do appreciate you bringing me on with these other esteemed gentlemen and ladies. And to the queens, peace to the goddesses. And to the kings, peace to the gods.
Indeed. Greg, take us into when we speak about the welfare system, and this is not, and I want everybody to understand, I love my women. I was raised by one of the most honorable women that I've met, and I was raised with several sisters, and I have an affinity for my women, don't get me wrong, but I do have to point out what I've experienced and what I see. And we're going to talk about the men as well because, you know, Greg doesn't have a problem doing that. Phil doesn't either. We have our responsibility, but we have to deal with some of the biggest weapons that's being used, and that's really right now our women because they essentially turned our women against us by offering the welfare. And Greg deals with a lot of issues, and some of you women might get a little annoyed, but we're also dealing, Greg, as I spoke yesterday, with the fact that, you know, our women are able to get on welfare and just, you know, and the welfare system, as Sister explained, you can't get out of it unless you're willing to forego it, meaning that if you make $2 more than that limit that they've placed upon you, then you lose it. How long can someone be on the system being provided housing, being provided money, a cell phone maybe, a couple of classes that, you know, most women never seem to exceed beyond the boundaries of those projects? You know, how comfortable are you once you've done that for several years? I mentioned the fact that I grew up with aunts that, you know, probably is on welfare to this day, family that, you know, just works the system, making it easier for the women to disconnect from the men and disconnect the children from the father. But one of the things I want you to discuss is how we've deal with, you and I talked about this, and we have to be, again, we have to be real about it, is that women have become a little bit more promiscuous than men, and I believe that is due to a few things. We have the issue of birth control. We have the issue of welfare, where they know they're going to be taken care of, and there's no limitation from the state, you know, whether you can continue having kids. So when we look at Ferguson and other pictures, we just see, you know, kids everywhere, children everywhere, and that's a result of welfare. So there's a promiscuity issue with regards to, okay, are they going to rely on the birth control? If not, then the abortion. If not, then the welfare. If not, then the child support. And if not, then divorce. And we have to speak about those areas because that is the foundation of what is going on. And tell me a little bit about how your feelings on those topics.
Well, let's see. Squid, stay away from me. Relative to each and every one of those situations, the one thing that seems to be a consistent is because of the purveyors of the information and the media and the imaging, there has become a greater acceptance of those things which would be otherwise considered social degradants and even community degradants among our own people. At one time, it was not honorable for women to walk around with a fat belly or a pot belly with a baby with no man. It wasn't accepted.
Right.
And I'm 46. It wasn't accepted for a woman to be promiscuous. It was, and to be known, for it to knowingly be promiscuous. It wasn't acceptable for a young lady to have a mouth that was worse than a man because there, quite frankly, is a double standard, ladies. And I have daughters, and I tell them, You know, don't come to me and tell me what Dorito, Neckbone, or T-Bone did to you. You picked them because you have the first and last choice of rejection. You can always say no to any advance, and you can say no at any point in time up to the consummation of whatever the act is that you choose. And quite frankly, you need to be more responsible because a man's reputation can be cleaned simply by wiping off his penis or so in a sink. Your reputation is going to stay with you, whether you think so or not. The other reality of some of these things that has not been spoken to enough is the philosophical and physical effect to women of having multiple men. Men don't keep women with them. Now, I know this is an anatomy issue. Women take every man with them. That muscle memory stays with you. That muscle memory is inappropriately labeled emotionalism. No, it's your body reacting. It's oxytocin. These are things that women don't even talk to young girls about when men know it. That's why the quote-unquote game thing is so big. If we can get you to think that you are what we tell you you are, essentially we can copulate. And those are things that don't get discussed enough. And men, you know, at least I use it to my advantage. And it doesn't have to be dishonest. The realities are the realities are those realities. But women in promiscuity is also willful, and all these things, these negative dysfunctions, all coincide with the lack of a man's presence, not a male's, a man's presence. So, you know, I'm with you 188,000% of the way with what you're saying up to this point. I have no disagreements. And I guess I could otherwise reiterate it all day long. I think one of our problems within our community is we're not being honest with it. It's even taboo to be married now, Sharif. Yeah, I was telling you the other day, I talked to my goddaughter, and this is her second pregnancy. The first time she got pregnant, I winced, I was aggravated, and I said, well, what did everybody say? Well, they're happy about it. I said, oh, so when am I going to marry you all? I'm not a minister, by the way. I'm a notary, and I could definitely get into that issue about this whole thing being biblical, because I had to say the same thing the minister says, right, by the power vested in me by the state. But at any rate, I ain't going to marry him. I'm thinking, you're going to have a baby from this dude again, but you don't want to marry him. Now, it is not because of a disbelief in the marriage aspect, as the marriage is a corporate merger, and the state essentially grabs jurisdiction over you. You don't like him like that. How do you procreate with somebody that you don't like? Twice. I give everybody one, bro. Furthermore, here's another statistic that didn't get spoken to. Were you aware, or any of the esteemed listeners, that the average length of time from when a married couple conceives a child is 3 years? However, for a non-married woman, from the time that she knew her partner, is 4 months. How in the blue darn do you justify the fact that you will have a child from somebody because you like his, you know, y'all feeling each other, or whatever young folks say today, his swag, or whatever the heck that is? You having a baby, bringing into life with somebody who you don't even know. And it's become popular because the power went to the women. Now, if most guys had any idea of the information that I now know, I believe within the depths of my heart that women would stop being as promiscuous if guys just would learn you don't have to pay child support. You don't even have to be a father if you're not married, because the state doesn't have the authority or power to do that to you. And I'm not just telling you, I can show you.
Well, go ahead in, brother. Go ahead into that, because we have to discuss that. Then I'm going to play a short clipping before we get into the incarceration side of the child support system. But I want you to go in and just explain. And again, you know, we're getting on the men. We're not excusing the men because of behavior. But we have to look historically and say that men has always been deemed dogs. So we're seeing a change, not in that culture necessarily, but in the culture of women, you know, and how they handle it, and promiscuity and pregnancy. So there's one thing that you said is that, you know, if
And the women probably knew they couldn't get any more welfare, and they couldn't take birth control, and they couldn't, you know, have the upper hand in divorce. I just think things would be a little bit different.
Well, one thing is this, and I'm going to say something on behalf of women, and this may sound a little ethnic skull. The reality is I went to campuses where there was a whole lot of Europeans, okay? You're not going to convince me that European women don't get their due to do on as much, if not better and longer and faster and more freakier than our sisters. But as you did allude to, there is still some functional concept of family. In other words, I'm going to leave my freak in the streets. I'm going to leave my freak at this institution of learning and move forward. Now, before the internet, we all know that was what most girls that were freaks in school did, or were overly promiscuous. I'm sorry, I don't want to degrade your show. That's what they did. They would go up to a campus somewhere, wait for mommy and daddy, do what they do, come back home, and everything would start all over as if they had never done anything but been the Christine Angel. And that, your reputation couldn't follow you. Well, now we got social media. But I'm saying that to say this. You cannot build generational wealth having a system or a functional community system of illegitimacy, because now the names will never mean anything. Remember when you were growing up, Sharif and the other brothers and sisters on the line, hey, aren't you such and such son? Oh, you such and such grandson. They wouldn't know now. And even though these are European names, but the things that tied you to a system of learning and a system of behavior based upon who your family members were, which is why that 78%, not 76%, 78% of so-called black children who were born prior to 1972, coming from a two-family home, were able to prosper because all the resources stayed in the house. If you and your woman create all the children, even if your economics were not as superior as the next one, the family resources were there. And that matters. And if it didn't, you would not have this level of social dysfunction, which you cannot tie one social dysfunction to the presence of to the overpresence of a father. Every negative social dysfunction is tied to the absence of a relationship between children and fathers. So why do we continue to promote it as if it's a good thing, or as if it's some strong women or women are holding it down? There's a lot more to a slogan than some may think. In fact, every movement, no matter how damn dumb it is, needs a slogan. Because it's like, what's the hook going to be, right? Let's just throw a hook to it. Strong, black, and independent. Really? What are you free from? What are you independent from? Well, go ahead on, brother.
No, brother, you touching on it. I mean, when you talk about socioeconomics and the family, I mean, let's look at the Mormons. You know, they come together and they put all those resources in one house, you know, all those incomes in one house. I'm just speaking about, you know, what I've seen and heard. But you bring up some interesting points about, you know, the family structure, and I know you and I had a conversation about
the Hispanic, the Amish, our Olmec brothers from Mexico, any of them, the Indians, and I do mean those from India, my Mandarin brothers and sisters. Y'all think really they do that many damn nails, people? Are you serious? Come on. They believe in community economics, and community economics is taught first in the home.
That's right.
But go ahead. I'm sorry for cutting you off, bro.
No, that's right. I mean, that's a great point. So when we talk about some of the consequences that we're seeing today, when we talk about, before we get into the prison system of the men with the child support issues, when we talk about some of the consequences we see to Ferguson, to New York, a lot of the young teenagers, both black and white. You know, listen, we have that destruction. We have drug use amongst all cultures. We have crime amongst all cultures. We have mass shootings done, you know, mainly by white population. And we have, of course, black-on-black crime, which is an issue as well. And we're looking at the facts that you laid out and that we discussed and the sister discussed in the video of how we're growing up, or we're incorporating men that doesn't have the connection to father. And we got to understand in the Bible, it mentions the fatherless and the widows 44 times, and it mentions motherless once. So the Bible in and of itself has put a special emphasis on fatherless and widows, and we have to take that into heavy consideration. But when you talk about the consequences of the kids that are coming about, and you mentioned you have daughters, and I have daughters, and you mentioned the sons, what are you seeing, Greg, in terms of what are the qualities or inequalities of kids as a result of single family households?
Well, because the majority or the predominant households are ran by women, we have to be candid. There's a lack of structure. Because let's say this, fathers don't really find things cute, care about efficiency and effectiveness. You know, we may think our daughters are pretty. We may even think the guy might be all right. But our real focus is, what happens if I have to close my eyes forever? Are you going to take care of my baby? And to the daughters, you want to say, sweetie, you got to think about it. Is that guy that you opened up your legs for willing to die for you? Because quite frankly, for my people who follow tradition, what's the first question that used to be asked at any wedding? And many people don't know. Do you know, bro? I'm not putting you on the spot.
The first question that used to be asked at a wedding,
mm-hmm,
for sickness or for health.
No, the first question. Who gives this girl, this woman, to be wed?
True.
The father. And then what happens? There's a transition of responsibility. Remember back in the day when you had to knock on the door? The one reason that most guys stayed away from the house, I am not going to deal with this girl dead. Because he ain't having it.
Mm-hmm.
Dad don't care about
That's your cuteness.
Don't care about your damn shoes. Quite frankly, I want to know, what can you do for my daughter? I know what you want to do with her, because dad is thinking that way. Nigga, young man, you ain't slick. The same way I think now.
Right.
I ain't trying to hear that. Because one, I ain't trying to deal with the fallout of the foolishness. I want to get back to living and enjoying my life, which I had a real good one prior to y'all coming around. I tell my kids that I had a life before y'all, and I had a good one.
Right.
So the reality is what comes out is a sense of irresponsibility and that somebody's going to look out for you. And with boys, that is very destructive. Beto told Michael in the garden, in Godfather 1, after he had transitioned power, I spend my life trying not to be careless. Women and children can be careless. Men can't be careless, and our boys are finding that out every day, that walking around with your chest poked out does not intimidate people with power or presumed authority. They don't care about that. They will put a hole in you, and that's a hole that mommy can't fix. And we're learning that, unfortunately, the hard way. Edify them with education, bro.
Talk about that, brother, because we touched on that yesterday. Talk about the educational system and the lack of male teachers, because we know that growing up, when I was growing up, it was predominantly female, okay, teachers in the school system. So I guess the kids are coming from a single family home with just the mother, and then they're going to a public education with mostly women, it seems like they're getting more of an infusion of that female energy than that male energy.
Oh, he started it. Now, I told you, I thought that was going to stay between us, what I said at that school board meeting. But I'll put it out there, because I wasn't bashful then, I ain't bashful now. I'm just not trying to, I don't really care what anybody thinks anyway. So anyway, listen, I said at a school board meeting right here in Hillsborough County where less than 24% of all so-called black males are even graduating in the 4 years. So if you think about how many are graduating, what percentage do you think are ready for post-secondary education? Not that that indoctrination is necessarily an indication of how intelligent somebody is, but it shows that you can actually be in a structured environment, commit to a task, and complete that task. But I said that there's too much estrogen in the school system, and I meant it. I said, quite frankly, I don't care if you had to pay men $15,000 a year more to come into education, to get men, especially in the primary levels, into education, because, one, that's the most formative years of anybody's development, is the primary years. Nobody would argue that. You can read today because you learned to read yesterday, right? Even if you didn't appreciate it, you learned it. And those are skills that quite frankly, and when I was in education, I left the adult education system last, I realized that it's much harder to teach a person who's older than it is to somebody who's younger. But with that being said, it should be kind of striking to people that from the very same household that the women or the young girls are graduating, boys from the same household are failing. But we don't want to raise our eyebrow to that at all. We don't want to speak to that because that's not popular. Because who is everything marketed to? Who's really the spenders of the money? And in most instances, based upon what you said, it ain't her money. It's women. That's why the most bought books are those fantasy books or whatever you call them, lovey love books or Zany Zane books and all that craziness. What's the most kind of watched television? Drama television. We watch, or not drama, mm-hmm. called, well, drama, what's it, the other thing, reality stuff, whatever. I don't
reality
watch that
TV, crazy. Right.
Okay. You watch reality TV, and you emulate that, but did you notice that the reality TV shows have writers and producers? But I'll leave that alone. But anyway, so what we do is we popularize it, even when it comes to the music. You don't hear the Ozzy Brother kind of style anymore. You don't have a smooth, I want to love you and be there for life kind of style. Why is it that this so-called music, which really leaves a lot to be desired, but anyway, and it's not a slight on the guys, it's what makes money. The women buy music that is degrading to them. The whole thug culture, which, you know, you are what you are. We are what we all are. But if you are drawn to somebody who emulates the worst of society, what does that say about you at your core? But we are the culmination of the energy that created us, right? But we don't talk about that either. I used to say, well, actually, I still say, you don't put a dirty foot and a thud together and think you're going to create a Rhodes Scholar. It just ain't going to happen. Not because he ain't got the capacity, but what environment is he going to be dropped off into? You can't show me something that makes me focus on what's below your neck and think I'm going to work my way up. I don't see Beyonce and immediately think about, dang, I wonder how educated she is. I ain't wired that way. I don't go to a strip club to find a nuclear biophysicist. I don't go there to find a wife. We got to get back to what's going to edify our community in more ways than just not just educationally, academically, socially, however it may be. And even when it comes to just being decent people, these things start with the women are the standard of society. It's a difficult job, and I know it is, lady, but society standards are set by the wives and the mothers, not the chicken heads on the streets. But unfortunately, over the last 25 to 30 years, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I graduated in 1986, who has been the predominant shapers and image makers, the control model for society, especially our community? Our women. When Tupac made it popular to be a thug, everybody wanted to be a thug because why? Women found Tupac really cute with his whole thuggish, the thug passion thing. But I remember when Tupac danced with my man, Shaq Lee. And he even told y'all I had to change and get mean because being mean is how I got the part of my friends, the bitches. We got to go hard on them. Damn, bro. You the same guy that said a girl said you was too nice. But I'll yield
That's true.
The floor.
On the music issue, we have to deal with it. I mean, I kind of look at it from this perspective. Based on what you said in the historical and esoterical information you provided, let's look at it. Well, they grew up in single-family homes, disconnected from the father, mothers disconnected from the men, the husbands. They grow up. They're just being supported, and we're going to get into the child support issue. They're being supported minimally. The state is giving, you know, putting the women in a project, a consecration camp, a farm, whatever you want to call it. All the women in there are there suffering the same consequences, which is menless and fatherless. And then the men know where to go, you know, to the farm and mate, and you know, they mate. There's no vetting of the men. The men are looking at it, okay, well, you're on welfare, you're on the state, so you know, I mean, you know I'm over here driving my, you know, my Capri Classic with my 28 inch wheels and the TVs and you know, and you know, with that, that's appealing because look, Pookie or Jack or Brian has a few more dollars than I have. So, you know, he's going to come over a little while. We're going to get into it. the guy's going to feel like, well, she's on welfare, really. She's not, you know, they're going to let the state pay for it. And you're sitting up there sleeping around with state property. And then they get snagged into the system, which is the child support. The state start coming in and say, okay, where's Pookie that you slept with and produced this baby? Where's Jack? Where's Brian? Brian, give me their names. We want their names because they've been messing around here with state property. We need their names, put them in the system. And then now we're going to talk about what happens once you get into the system. And, of course, our women's going to give him up. What's his name? What's his full name? Where does he live? Well, I don't know. Well, who is he? I think he works. We got their brothers that are middle class, upper class, maybe have a good job, and, you know, and they impregnate the sister, and, you know, and then they move on, and then they put their name in the system. And here we go with Child Protective Services, child support, under the guise of being taking care of the kids. And we know the media campaign and, you know, take care of the kids, all about the children. Tell us a little bit about that, Greg.
Oh, heck. Stay thee away from me, squid. He's starting. Listen, this thing about, I didn't have my medicine today. Not that I take any of that foolishness, but the reality is, look at what's happened to what would be otherwise family-distributed wealth. Because you have one woman who all the resources are in one house. But imagine what happens when a man has his resources pulled in other directions. Now, they were saying the 17% issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 17% after, is it 19% for taxes? So now he's starting with 17 and 19 is 36, so he's starting with 64% to live with, right? Let me ask you a question. How can you love something that creates pain for you? Is that really possible?
Mm. Wow.
Are you going to have a built-in disdain, resistance, or animus? Even when it's a child, ladies, yeah, most guys don't love that child. You know why? Because there's nothing loving about them. Hell, there's nothing loving about you in most cases. You were something to do. Otherwise, it would have manifested into something else. I don't buy the 2000 and whatever, bro. You know the birth control pill
right.
Is 1952? Why don't we talk about that? What did I say about the European girls? You going to tell me that Becky, Sue, Tammy, and Linda don't get it in? Let's be honest, people. There is a level of responsibility and actually a level of scorn and shame that's associated with being a single mother within other communities. They even know how to, some kind of way, in most cases, get immediately remarried. So they have what you call the blended family thing, right? Brady Bunch. I may be dating myself,
right.
But I don't care.
That's true.
The Brady Bunch. We can't get together and do a bunch of nothing but foolishness in most cases. We don't even talk about our antisocial behavior. Look at how we act around grown folks. You know where that came from? I'm going to say it out loud and everybody get your crowns out. That came from mama saying, you can't tell my baby nothing. Don't tell my child what to do. When at one time, one thing that was very present is anybody could tell a child what to do because a child hadn't earned no right to determine how everybody else is to live around them. You function within a system. This whole it takes a village to raise a child. Hey, bro, how many chiefs are in the village? Exactly. Don't villages operate based upon a sense of structure? And again, if I'm wrong and what I'm saying, I got to understand. Tell me then, why do we have so many damn problems, if anything, that came? And it's not because it's my information. Even if I didn't have statistics, I don't have to be a political science pre-law major to have eyes that function. I can see. I got ears that function. I hear. When did we ever grow up and we cursed around elders? And I do mean these things don't even go on anymore. We got the very people who built neighborhoods that are now being run down, afraid to come outside in their own neighborhood. And we don't have a problem with that, bro.
You going in, brother? I mean, look. I'm feeling you, so I'm seeing the violence and I'm seeing the pain, but you just struck a chord because I'm telling you, when I was growing up, man, the neighbor, the janitor, the garbage man was able to pop you upside your head if he seen you acting out of pocket. The teacher, my teacher, elementary school, walked around with a yardstick. I had a teacher called Miss Keaton. She was an Indian. She wore rings on every finger. She would often punch me to the chest. Put the rings on.
That ruler was something else too, wasn't it?
I'm telling you. Now, you know, we're in a sensitive society since the government has taken over the family. They tell you, you know, you can't scream at them. You can't hit them. They tell the kids call 911 on you. And then they take them away from you. Let's get into the child support system and the CPS. And they take the kids. First, they separate you from the man, so you have no protection. The women are without men, so they're. We all know that historically, you want to create a society of people that are easily oppressed. Just take the father out of the house. Take the man away from the woman. And you will have a society that is easily oppressible. You agree with that?
Well, of course. Even if I didn't agree, it wouldn't make it right and unright what you just said. I could disagree, which we have people who take the contrarian attitude, don't we? It ain't changed a damn thing,
right.
Has it? Listen.
True.
You can't have protection of women when you don't create warriors. You create warlets. You create a lot of pout. My man Sean McDowell, who used to co-host with me, he wrote a book called "Sit You Down When You're Gonna Get Up." Pow chopping or whatever, pie chopping from a lot of the females. We did a show called "Heavy as a Head That Rears a Crown." Everyone wants to be the queen or the king of a castle. And by the way, a king is the ruler of the castle and the kingdom. In fact, even on the chessboard, you know, fathers. We don't tend to move and say a whole lot, do we? But our moves are significant, just like on a chessboard, right? Everything around the king works to preserve the king, except in our community. And kings learn to be kings by emulation, which is why we have, and it's going to be a sensitive subject, and I'm going to talk about it today on the sports show, because I got to bring this Michael Sam thing, but that's why you have so many men that got these feminine tendencies, ladies. Because boys, we blueprint. So if you created us from a no-good joker, and by the way, ladies, y'all tend not to move away from certain kinds of guys. So if Sharif is a certain kind of dude, and red pill and blue pill are a certain kind of dude, you tend not to want the nice guy until you all, you know, hollowed out. That's a nice way I said it, right? Until you're hollowed out. And then the nice guy's going to say, why should I accept this from you? And unfortunately, what's happening, not to say unfortunately, one of the side effects is most brothers are going to other nationalities and cultures. And quite frankly, if you are a guy who worked every day diligently and you already got to live with looking like you look, you don't want to come home and fight a battle also. It's a battle just getting back to the door as we're learning. It's become popular to be insulted by our very women who really... There's nothing that can touch a sister when you talk about the physical beauty of them. It's not even close. It's a different ball game. But they're not being taught to be beautiful women. They're taught to be everything that really emulates or would imitate a man. And lady, the only man wants a woman strong like him, you might want to check that, brother. Because he doesn't want you for how you like him. He wants you for why you're different. And it completes him. I don't need the same thing I already got. I hope I answered your question, bro. No, but if you want to talk about the system, we can talk about that also.
Yeah, we're going to get into the system because, you know, we hear a common complaint. Now, you're speaking about a lot of things. We're going to try to touch upon them. You're saying that the women are, the boys, the men, are growing up without the father, growing up just with the
male.
Women don't want you to tell your kid what to do. There's no father. As you said, the father doesn't like something that causes him pain based on the restraints and based on somewhat to some degree are men being irresponsible having kids as well.
Right. The reality of the child. Yeah.
Right. The reality of the child. Correct. So the men become bitter because they're put in the system when the women probably could have exercised a little bit more discipline in their sexual decisions,
Uh-oh.
Especially getting pregnant. Well, let's not say sexual. Let's say getting pregnant.
So the welfare system, as the sister said on the video, really causes a lot of damages that we really don't talk about. Again, going back to the 1960s with the Welfare Act, maybe if that wasn't enacted, we would probably still have structure amongst the family. But and also take into effect that the 76% of divorces are filed by women, and that's because, you know, in that system, you overwhelmingly have the advantage, so it's easy to divorce. It's easy to get them. That's going to divorce them. It's easy for the women to seek out somebody with a dollar or without. Either you're going to divorce them and get some money, or you're going to stick the child support people on them and have them in jail eventually, which leads to, and I'm going to let you get on this, to the fact that most women say, well, all men are in jail or they're gay. Well, we just spoke about the fact that if the women are just raising the children, and, of course, we have, as parents or as individuals, gender-specific, we're going to make some sort of reason why dad is not around or mom is not around, but in this case, dad is not around. So we start making I've seen it. I mean, I grew up where I was, you know, all five of us were sitting on the couch waiting for dad to come, and dad be 5 minutes late, and mom be like, well, look, they've been sitting on the couch with their snorkels on, with their hoods and their boots. They're sweating. You're late. She start fussing at them. She start acting like still married. We be sitting up there crying, talking about, I want you to shut up. We just want daddy to come get us. And daddy turn around and be like, you know what? I'm not still with you. I'm not married to you. You got me hung up in all this stuff. I'm out. I'm not coming. So I experienced that firsthand. But I believe that the independence and the welfare and the fact that the women are able to say, I don't need you, and it was done so cheaply because, you know, I grew up on Section 8. I'm not going to even make any bones about it, Section 8. And, you know, it's funny, the Section 8 I grew up on, it was in New York. Phil would know about this. You know, our big building in New York, it was called a tenement building, but it was big. I mean, we had five bedrooms, and, you know, it's been on a few movies, but, you know, it was $300 a month. I never forget Section 8. That was my mother's portion, was $300 a month. Today, that same condo is worth $3 million. But what I'm getting to is the fact that, you know, the women grew up and, you know, I had to hear about my mother talk a lot about my father in negative ways. And I think some of that was just making an excuse why they wasn't together. She still loved him. She still, you know, she still told me, you look just like your daddy. You look. So there was a lot of negative talk that would give me headaches sometimes. So men grew up, at least I didn't. I don't know why, but I didn't. And I heard T.D. Jakes say one time, you know, the kids grow up, the boys, seeing mama all the time, and mama talking about how bad daddy is. So the men just start emulating mother because that's what is portrayed to them to be pure and clean and unscathed.
That's interesting. And you'll notice that women it's almost like women want to marry their sons. Boys cling to the mom, create these Oedipus complex. You hear women inundate boys with senses of guilt. Well, what about what you going to do for mommy when you get somewhere? When dad says, if you get famous, just get out the house. You know, just go live your life and enjoy it, son, so I can get naked with mommy. That's how it used to be. Parents wanted to see you get gone.
Right.
And we used to wonder, well, what happened when they left? Why my mom and dad always traveling? Because they couldn't wait to get rid of your ass.
Right.
Y'all forget that. See, what used to happen within the natural order of things is you meet this lady who you're crazy about. Y'all love each other. Sharon come. Y'all raise them. And you get back to being crazy about each other again. You get to walk around naked. You get the hug and kiss and lick on each other when the kids ain't around. Or the kids will come pop up and be surprised. Oh, what's mommy and daddy doing? They're getting back to what built you, which is why you have a solid foundation, because it came from love. Not because two people in the club were drunk or they were feeling each other, or nowadays high, and made something. But at any rate, there became a really popular thing. You kept going to the system. I'm going to get, and this is one thing we know we hear, I'm going to get the white folk to get you to do it. And this is not a slight to my European friends as well, or listeners. But if you want to stay in power, don't you control and dominate and essentially try to eliminate any competition? So if I already am in a position of power and authority, I mean at the higher levels, because don't forget, even if you only like the book because it's a book of philosophy, your battle is not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual wickedness in high places, right? If I want to create a bunch of people that I can easily control, make you over-emotional, and get rid of any potential resistance for my future generations, because that's what posterity is. Remember, to ourselves and our posterity, do it in the Jefferson Constitution. Remember that? It was the founding fathers speaking to their own, even though you should utilize that when you go into a venue. But anyway, so if I want to make sure that my future generations are protected, I just eliminate the enemy. Or not, well, they're not even an enemy. I create them and make them my enemy. I eliminate the competition. How can I create a system or a bunch of weak-willed, simple-minded men? Turn them over to the woman, because the one who was actually here to teach them to be men, I have now ostracized and excommunicated from the relationship. Even Dr. King said, a society that raises weak-minded men purchases its own demise on the installment plan, or words to that effect. I might be paraphrasing it. And what do we now have? We have a bunch of weak-minded men raised by women who only parrot things. And by the way, parrots can't have cogent conversations. Parrots emulate what they hear, no different than you catching a hook on a song and that's all you can sing. Now we parroting things that don't make no damn sense. Well, my mama really held down and took care of us. She had you. She had you and overstood her situation prior to giving birth. I ain't giving you no damn credit for that. And in many cases, there are a bunch of cases I'm learning about, and I help guys who want to be involved with the child and show them how to go about preparing yourself to go engage these people so you can get your children and be involved in their life if that's what you want. To the guy who don't want to be involved, I help him too. You don't want him to do with it, I'll show you how you ain't got nothing to do with it. It's time to get back to brass tacks. And I know, well, what about the kids? You should have thought about that when you brought them into the world. It takes a really selfish, and we've heard this comment, I want somebody to love me for me. But who the hell are you going to love? Men don't say no jump like that. I want to have a human to love me for me and give what in return? What you choose to give? These are realisms, because I see it every day. Even before I went into the educational system, which I left 20 years ago, problems have now been amplified. You know how selfish you are to do that? Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to transition into the prison system and the child support issue, which is finding most of black and whites at the liberty and abuse of our government and states. And many of us are under the illusion that all of this is for the kid. Again, we separated men and women, and we've separated women from men. And we're suffering as well, the men and the boys, because of a lack of the family structure, including the feminine energy. But I'm a transition into this next phase. I'm going to play 7 minutes of a video, but I got talking about the prison system. Then we're going to get into the child support issue and how the prison system is used against most men, which women complain, you know, either men are gay, which we kind of understand how that's come about, or in jail. And we're going to demonstrate to you why that happened. So bear with us 7 minutes on this video, and we're going to get into this topic for the last half hour.
Brother.
My nationality is Edom. We're the descendants of Esau. And
our main story tonight concerns something Americans simply can't get enough of: prison. We love to be entertained by it, from Orange is the New Black to seemingly MSNBC's entire weekend programming, to the TNT classic Tim Robbins Stands Shirtless in the Rain, the movie. We love prison so much, a shocking number of Americans are currently inside one, as we learned last week during a House Judiciary Committee hearing.
Our nation now has the greatest number of prisoners of any country in the world. Nearly one in every 100 adults in America is in prison or jail.
That's true. We have over 2 million people behind bars right now. We have more prisoners at the moment than China. Than China! We don't have more of anything than China, other than, of course, debt to China. And it didn't always used to be this way. Our prison population has expanded eightfold since 1970. The only other thing that's grown at that rate since the 70s is varieties of Cheerios. F*** you, fruity Cheerios! You trumped up Fruit Loops and you know it! And look,
Our prison population has exploded for a number of reasons, from the dismantling of our mental health system to mandatory minimum sentence laws, which help explain why 97% of people plead guilty to federal crimes rather than risk going to trial, to, of course, drugs. Because half the people in federal prison are there on drug charges, and it accounts for a quarter of admissions to state prisons. And, of course, it's tricky to know how to feel about all this, because on the one hand, the war on drugs has completely solved our nation's drug problem, so that's good. But on the other hand, our drug laws do seem to be a little draconian and a lot racist. Because while white people and African Americans use drugs about the same amount, a study has found that African Americans have been sent to prison for drug offenses at up to 10 times the rate, for some utterly known reason. It reminds me of a joke. You know, black people who commit drug offenses, they go to jail like this, whereas white people don't go to jail at all. In fact, so many people are incarcerated in America right now that it's become one of the things that Sesame Street has to explain to children.
My dad's in jail.
When I was about your age, my dad was incarcerated too. Incarcerated is when someone breaks the law, a grown-up rule, and then they have to go to jail or prison.
We will be your friend. We'll help you through.
You're not alone.
Just think about that. We now need adorable singing puppets to explain prison to children in the same way they explain the number 7 or what the moon is. And at least Sesame Street is actually talking about prison. The rest of us are much happier completely ignoring it, perhaps because it's so easy not to care about prisoners. They are, by definition, convicted criminals. In fact, it's so easy not to care that we are really comfortable making jokes about one of the most horrifying things that can potentially happen to them.
Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And do not, I repeat, do not drop the soap.
Look, doubloons. Don't drop them.
You know what? If we were in prison, you guys would be like my bitches.
We're going to federal pound me in the ass prison.
You got any idea what they do to eggs in San Ricardo prison?
It ain't over easy.
Oh. Oh. Do you get it? Do you get it? The egg's gonna get f***ed against its will. That's why it's funny. Look, wake up your children and explain that joke to them. They'll love it. We are somehow collectively able to laugh about references to the fact that 4% of prisoners reported being sexually victimized in the past year. 1 in 25. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but think of it like this. If every time you bought 2 dozen donuts, one of them had been raped, you'd be pretty upset. And those are pastries. Prisoners are people. If you don't know a prisoner, though, or think that you're ever likely to become one, then their safety and health is not going to be high on your list of priorities. You don't need to know anything about the conditions that they live in. But you know who should know? Maybe the director of federal prisons. And yet, watch him almost comically struggle to recall a basic detail about one of the most mentally excruciating things prisoners can be subjected to, solitary confinement.
How big is a cell? How big is the average cell in solitary?
Say the average size?
Cell, yeah, the size of the cell. How big is it? What is, I'm trying to get this, this is the human thing we're talking about. We've got a lot of statistics. How big is the cell?
The average size of a cell is, I guess I'm trying to, you're looking for the space of what the...
Yes, the dimensions in feet and inches. The size of the cell that a person is kept in. I want to get some idea of, I don't know, am I asking this wrong?
No, you're not. You are not asking it wrong. As far as I can remember, you're just asking him what the size of the f***ing cell is. But it was a long time ago. And to be fair, he did eventually get an answer.
The average size should be equivalent to which 6x4.
What? 6x4? A couple of things there. One, that was clearly a guess. And two, 6x4 is barely an elevator. That is the length of a 6-foot party sub by the length of the amount of that party sub that's left over the following day. Because nobody wants party subs. No, people put their hands all over them. They're disgusted. No one wants. That's not the point. That's not the point. But thankfully, a few minutes later, the record was corrected.
For the actual, it's 10x7 for the cell size.
Ooh, 10x7. Step this way.
All right. Just wanted you to hear a little bit of levity. Apologize for the profanity, but this is an adult show.
Why apologize, bro? It's real. And you know what?
That's right.
I'm trying. Listen, one thing we might want to consider, that doggone squid kind of just shakes himself out sometimes. But one thing I wanted to talk about, because it was on my mind and he was talking, is that prisons create almost a diseased population. You know that, right? Because once they return these guys, see, the guys get tested going in, they don't get tested coming out. And don't women love those muscle bound? You know how many pen pals a lot of prisoners have? I've heard the guys talk about it. Hell, they come on my show and talked about how many women would shoot, send them certain kinds of pictures, you know, some of the stuff they couldn't have. But who is the most diseased of the nationalities of women? I'm just saying, these things, and even when it comes down to, this is how I was explaining this to a group of young ladies one time. Not overly young, but just teenage girls. And I had to calibrate for them also. Let me explain to you how this happens. Younger girls want things, like you were saying earlier, right? Who's going to be more likely to have things? Older guys. Well, older guys back in the day were getting money, and they were getting their sexual pleasures off on some dirty foots and some older women, even some, you know, tricks. So they go ahead and they contaminate the young girl. The young girl turn back around and contaminate the boys. And even over time, if you deal with a guy who's been in jail or locked up for a few years, which is why a lot of guys come out needing Niagara or Viagra, because they've been essentially turned off from women because they've been around men. And ladies, and I'm not saying that this is the case in all cases. Ain't no dude going to be for X number of years and not need a release. It just doesn't happen. We're not engineered that way. But you need that so-called style of loving, and even that's all speckless speeches, I should say, because in the end it doesn't benefit any. It doesn't benefit you, because that's why there's so many broken down emotional wrecks, because they get caught up in the things that aren't real. But the real is that prison system and the fact that it makes money and it keeps people employed. In fact, 1 in 3 Europeans are employed because of that. Do you think they have a real desire to cut crime? Have you seen the paychecks of some people that are involved with the prison industrial complex? They send your baby to jail. They send their baby to college. And those are the same people you stick on them in. And by the way, I forgot to bring up something earlier. Something brought it back to me. Did you know that 65, when they talk about the men fathering kids, fathering babies from multiple women, amazingly, obfuscating any responsibility from the woman. You know that 65% of women who have multiple children had them from multiple men that they were never married to. Not the issue of marriage, but that's just something to think about. Because we got to have a standard somewhere. 65% of women who have multiple kids have them from multiple men that they were never married to. So in other words, when you come see your son, I ain't never picked my son up, right? What do you think my son is thinking about your son? They may be brothers, but what are they thinking about? Why Sheree came and got me? Why ain't Greg come get me? Or vice versa. Or both of our kids don't see neither one of us. We see the other brother, Red Pill. The kids see Red Pill, and they hear Red Pill and Mommy, and they're, you know, playing jumping jacks in the room. Then the next day, they may see me come by. I may buy them a bucket of chicken or a Happy Meal, and they hear me and Mommy playing jumping jacks also. Of course, that has no effect on the psyche of any man, knowing that his mom essentially is a trampoline. That won't bother him at all later on in life. That will definitely endear him to other women, especially to the extent where my son gonna know how to treat a woman. How? He ain't never seen nobody treat you worth a damn. I mean, a darn.
Right.
Plus, when he goes from being 4 to 14, what you think he don't know? Oh, trust me, he knows. But you can go ahead. I'm sorry. I wanted to get that out. I had to write down a couple quick notes as I was traveling. I want to make sure
I understand.
I brought that up.
Let's get into this child support system and how, you know, we're learning. And for those that don't know, and I'm going to bring the pill in at the end of this segment, we're going to talk about the child support system, how it's used. And I know most women feel that, you know, well, I need some money for my kid. I don't think people understand, from at least from your viewpoint, Craig, how this child support system is nothing but a money-making and shaking machine for your state, your courts, your judges, your federal government. I want you to tell them how the federal government pays these states and these judges personally up to five or six times the amount, okay, for every dollar that's collected from a man. Take us into that arena, if you would.
Okay, listen, and I just recently did a webinar called a Show and Prove webinar on child support. And you, if you don't mind, I can tell you can go get it at gregdawes.com, and if you want me to do it again for the guy, Sharif, I'll do another one.
All right.
But
great.
The magistrates within the court are the state's answer to the desire to create revenue, not from child support, because, ladies, the attorney doesn't even represent you or represent you. What she does is represent the agency, because you even mentioned it, it's called state property. Listen, even if the guy doesn't pay, they bill the hours. Care about you or your baby. How many damn birthday cards have they sent your babies? How many times did they show up at a graduation? Let's at least be intellectually honest and stop this doggone mental masturbation. Nothing about that system is about anything other than purveying the livelihood of all the people involved. You walk into a venue, you have what? The mother, who probably is, at best, just above the poverty level, a father who's probably going to go into the underground because he can't make a living above ground without them making him an indentured servant, which is in violation of the 13th Amendment, not to mention it's peonage, but who am I to read? But at any rate, then you have who? A magistrate who can't make a judicial decision by law, who will turn over the recommendation to a judge who will sign off on it. You have people who work for the agency. They probably make about, what, Sheree, $30,000, $40,000 a year?
Yep.
You have the attorney who is actually, this is odd, people, and I want you guys to get your crayons out. Let me ask you a question. So you're talking about who makes money. How can a person who's elected by the people or a representative of the elected people actually represent a person against another person and not be in conflict? Forget that. I just forgot I even brought that up. But anyway, so you have all these people making money, right? And even if not a dime is garnered for the child, even if that child does not succeed in life, they've all been paid. Maybe providing for the general welfare or promoting the general welfare, which is a part of that preamble, matters also. I want everybody right now to turn your attention to Article 22 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, because I'm actually traveling. And I think that everybody who's a member of society is entitled to Social Security, aren't they? Having a status and a place in life.
Indeed.
And you think it's about your baby, huh? You know how selfish that thought is. And really, you don't even take the man in there about your baby. You take him in there because it's a way for you to exact some sort of vindictive motive. Hell, you had an ulterior motive when you were on your back, in most cases. And what's really even more interesting is this term, I want y'all to write this down, called strict scrutiny. See, before the state can even involve themselves in your private affairs, they have to find the least intrusive means available. And guys, I know you may say, I got it because of what he said, a lot of information, and I'm not a smart guy, but I spent a lot of time in the law library. That's why I was able to, in the audio that you heard, rebut so much. I had all the answers before I even asked the question. Did you all even know that the, one of the really easiest things a guy had to say is, well, hell, if she can't take care of the baby, get the child to me. And then you open up a whole different list of damn case law. Oh, that would really
explain to the audience, Greg, what strict scrutiny is. Go a little bit further on strict scrutiny and tell them how that is important with this child support system.
And for the state to make a case, the state has to show what's called standing. Because if the woman's not making a case, you can tell them, get her out of here. Because if she's a party to the case, then show how I owe her. Because I didn't know that prostitution was lawful, even though it's not an issue with prostitution, because even in the Bible, prostitution was a common practice. It's a contract, by the way. But anyway, strict scrutiny means that the state has to show a compelling state interest that's furthered by whatever quote-unquote law that's there. And it's not a law, it's a statute. I guarantee you. And here's one even greater. How many of you guys are brought in there under the auspice of family law, and how can you be a damn family when you all are a damn jump-off? Damn, wouldn't that make the jurisdiction improper, Sheree? You know? But hell, I didn't say that either.
So they're bringing you in court for you men out there, child support under family law, and you're not married. So how can you come under the jurisdiction or umbrella of that law when there is no marriage?
Hey, listen, man, listen. Only the marriage is to be protected by the state. That's in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 15. No, that's 16, because 15 is the right to nationality.
Hmm.
You know what I mean, by the way.
So, Greg, get into the federal law that was enacted by the government as a benefit for the states to do a couple of things. First of all, we're going to get into the prison issue once they try to levy upon you the economic oppression through child support. But tell them how the federal government has this law.
Hey,
forget it. I know it's 666.
I know Big Brother's listening, but they might want to just call me and go to createcost.com. Because I can tell y'all all day, even though Slick Willie got y'all's asses, you know who else got y'all? Harold Ford's daddy was helping Reagan with that craziness. But President Ford, oddly enough, didn't want to pass it. But quite frankly, the issue still becomes jurisdiction, and are they within the proper jurisdiction? And I can show you all, because you need to absorb it. You don't need to go and say, I was told this, because when they start to challenge you, you want to be able to adequately demonstrate the knowledge and also to be able to provide them with the proper documentation to support your argument and set it up for appeal. But quite frankly, you're absolutely correct. The states were, it was all a part of the privatization of the prisons. Do y'all think it's just odd or coincidental that the prison industrial complex has grown by 500% since the very enactment of the war on poverty? Oh, that's a coincidence, right, bro? That's a coincidence? There ain't no such thing as a coincidence in this world, people. I was in the military. I know these people. Nothing happens on accident or coincidentally, especially when the bottom line is dollars. You know,
there's one company, Corrections Corporation of America, that runs most of, and Geo Group, that runs most of the state's prison system. Most people think, and most women think, and most men think that when you are put into this system, it's somehow for something that you did wrong. And people see all these stats talking about, oh, the states are spending all this money on the prison system. Greg, would you really explain to people that the prison system is nothing but a money-generated business that is run by a private corporation called Corrections Corporation of America, and the second biggest one is GO Group, and they're a private corporation that recently they came out with a report, and the state said, listen, we don't want to run the prison system no more. We'd like for you, Corrections Corporation of America, to run it. And Corporation of America said, we would do it, but you have to guarantee us at least 90% occupancy.
Don't take my word for it. Why don't you go to the damn NASDAQ, people? Why do you think, lady, they want your babies on these drugs? No, I probably shouldn't say that because I was an investor in it. And Pfizer has cures, but, you know, let me put your child on drugs early in life. Nature gave you milk, ladies. But you got to run out there and get these wicks and these other things to put poison in your children, but let me get on to this. But anyway, people, nobody in business goes into business solely for Samaritan purposes. bottom line to business is economic. With an S. Economics. Thus, not only are we willing to run your prison, but guess what? Now we don't even have state employees, state. We can help you cut back your budget because we don't fire these clowns within 8-9 years and make them go find something else to do. We'll die. So we'll downsize. We'll transition. But we also get another group of people who can farm, who can make furniture, who can make lingerie for women. And that means the state pension system won't be used by anybody really other than the politicians who help us enact our laws and our policies and our will.
It's hold on, Greg. Money. You just mentioned one more other thing. When you do research, you will understand that most of our school systems, Arizona, Georgia, most of our teachers, most of our pension funds, most of our big corporations, but mainly the school system, which now we see resource officers in there, and that's became gateway from school
look
to prison.
Look at the building. Since you brought it, you interrupt me, bring up the building. What does the building look like, people? The new buildings, right. What do they look like? What do they resemble?
Prisons.
Because all the traffic goes, remember we grew up, bro, didn't we always walk outside sometimes to, within our classes and stuff? Everything now is self-contained, isn't it? How much modification? Mm. And now actually the classrooms look like pods, don't they?
That's true.
So you
brought the profit that are in the prisons. If we load up the prisons and, you know, they're in there building, you know, of course, when you're in prison now, they put the big child support bill on you. And you go in prison and you work for a quarter, 50 cents an hour. You're building Harley Davidsons. You're building toasters. You're building microwaves. And Walmart and other corporations use prison labor as a means of profit. So, in other words, 25 cents, 50 cents an hour is what the prisoners make, and they're working for major corporations. And from my research, they've made almost $10 billion last year just in prison labor. So, again, there's there's a benefit
to... And that's a job
to,
that I can't have, right? That's a job I don't get to have either, right?
There you go.
Because you got to pay me $14, $15 an hour, right? But let me ask you a question. Hey, bro. How many guys do you know pay $100,000 a year with a roommate for a 10x7 condominium? Pretty nice living, ain't it? Because it's about $50,000 a year per prisoner, right? Come on, people. Who the hell is doing that?
And all right, Greg, get into the child support system, what you dealt with, and
okay.
And please speak to
okay.
it so they don't think I'm saying it, how the federal government rewards how the judges get paid off of child support. The government, for every dollar they collect, is it $5 the government gives them for every dollar they collect from the men, black, white,
like,
purple,
like
green, and brown
four,
in child support?
401 or something. It's some sort of weird figure. But essentially they give them operating costs. Well, wait a minute. How do you get operating costs if you're already being taxed for the running of the government, remember? Oh, so there is an incentive, which means the judge would be in violation of his oath because now he has a financial interest in the outcome of your disposition. But who am I? Okay. So at any rate, I am better served to ensure that you continue to go through that system. In fact, didn't in Pennsylvania we learn, and they just broke that, but Sean and I talked about it years ago, where judges were sending children up to these little prisons, private prisons,
right,
and getting kickbacks.
$2.5 million.
Come on now, people. And by the way, do you know what? I don't know about your state. I'm in Florida. Do you know what a county level, or a circuit level judge makes here in Hillsborough County? $140,000 for 4 days of work. Why are you mad? 4 days of work. Gee, right now, if I go by the links, that most of them are on the link somewhere. That's golf course, people. I guarantee you. How many judges do you think miss a tee time, bro?
All right, Greg, get into your experience with the child support and how you had cases that you had to deal with. And, again, I want you to preface that you understand that I don't think you advocate men not taking care of their kids, but I don't think also you support men being in jail for not doing so.
I have an issue with a post-requisite when there's no prerequisite. I have an issue with a contract that's not being honored. If the only agreement people had was to have sex, it's pretty sad that you're going to, you know, it's obvious that we should have thought about that before you lay down. Tell your kid you're here because he didn't think about it before he lay down. I'm sure that'll make him feel better every day of the week. My issue is with us turning procreation into a reckless sport. I also have an issue with you incarcerating somebody for any debt, which is debtor's prison, and that's peonage, and that's fundamentally against the law. I have an issue with there not being equal consequence for children who ultimately grow up and don't become functioning members of society in the absence of some sort of extenuating mental incapacity. I have a problem with essentially babies that are the result of a screw. I'm going to be that's as clean as I can keep it. Because hurt people hurt people. These children have all this anger and this animus in them because they realize that they're not the result of any love. Hell, we don't even live in a society very much anymore. We hear mothers who even talk to their children in a calm, loving manner. Most of it is beat down and brow down because what? Of the animus they have for the father. Now, my experiences within the system, and I've had multiple, and the thing is, if I had known years ago, or had I known a Greg Dawson years ago, there's no way I would have lost my son to that system. I had the desire to fight and have the information. But one day I was in there, and a lady made me so angry that I said to myself, "Witch, I'm going to figure this out." And I kept on going back and forth and going back and forth. I didn't have the information to fight, bro, but I had the will. So my hammer kept coming back to me, right, or wanted to come back to me. And I fought in every way, shape, fashion, and form, which I heard a guy say at a black-on-black rhyme event, talking about something totally different. He said, "You don't have to pay for, you don't need a license to operate an automobile. You don't need this, and I can show you." And when he said those magic words, "I can show you," and this is about 3 years ago, I said, "He can show me. What were you talking about, bro?" And he opened it up. Because you can tell me anything. Hell, I can tell you I'm Superman until you push me off a building and I drop at 32 feet per second. Okay? But he showed me something. I said, "Well, I wonder, in all the education that I had in my life, no one ever taught me to make law personal. I created a relationship with the ultimate creator and everything else came into perspective." I went in, and I began to deconstruct the entire case, or the case is. I show where they were not lawful. There's no law that says you have to pay for child support, not one. There's statutes, there's codes. And they get into slavery. Actually, most of them are slavery in one capacity or the other. And over time, as I showed you on the screen, as I showed the people who got the webinar, I showed you, right, where my cases were closed out, right?
Exactly.
I don't make it up. I tell people, man, make somebody show you. Just like you listened to my case about the driver license, right? That's perfect.
Right.
Now, they may not like the fact that I was really angry because he brought me back knowing they had no case. But even taking your license for not paying child support, against the law, can't do that. It's property interest. Cannot
talk about that for a minute, Greg, because we all know that that license, and I did a show on it yesterday, that license is also a form of oppression used where, you know, you thought you were getting a license to operate, quote-unquote, commercially a vehicle, but that license is used, if you don't pay taxes, it's used for people with child support. Now they take your license away. Tell them why that is illegal. I'm going to bring in Blue. I'm going to bring in True for a minute because I want them to discuss more so how this man in jail for profit goes a little bit deeper when we talk about the money end of it. But tell them how that driver's license cannot be taken for something as child support or any other activity that they purport to remove that privilege.
If you have acquired that instrument or that license. That license, because it is a commercial instrument, go to Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, which they can only regulate commerce, go to Gibbons versus Ogden in the Supreme Court. But the reality is they cannot take your property from you or a liberty from you, Meyer versus Nebraska, without due process of law. And if I'm correct, most of the time it's done administratively. Well, instead of you looking at it as a license, look at it, well, it's as possessed property. See, once I acquired it, it's mine. And if they could just summarily take a license for not paying child support, why don't they take it when you don't pay T-Mobile, Sprint, Verizon? Hell, don't pay your light bill. Hmm. And in most cases, all the child support orders would probably be, if you took the time to do the necessary searching and researching, a void order ab initio, based upon the information we gave them the first time. But your property interest can never be taken, and we do know what the courts really are, people, but they're not going to tell you that. So let's just go play their game with them, all right, and go home. Play their game and go home with your stuff in your hand. And if they don't, then you make the substantive and substantive arguments to show why they can't do it, and you naturally back up with plenty of case law, but that's easy. That's a property right. Can't take your property without due process of law. And always go back to, hell, if she can't stand it, tell her ass to give me the child and shut up.
Huh.
That's an easy fix. But
huh.
I yield.
So let me surmise and let me get true. Let's talk about, I want to talk about this child support issue with regards to that it's only a moneymaker, and we all know that from 1960s. The government is not trying to put family back together. They would give you a benefit for staying together. They only give you a benefit for separating.
Hey,
okay? Women, I have to be real about it. The benefit is keep them away, keep them out the house. If you get this welfare, you can't. If you get this cheese, you can't have them around. You got to shut down by 6 o'clock. I know how some of the projects are. You can't have men after a certain time. You can't have a certain amount of money. So really, the women that are in the projects that are on welfare, they start messing with the hustlers because their money's underneath the table, and you know, they can slide them, you know, a couple of $100 here and there. So then we get into the drugs, and you know, we know how it goes. But I want to get into the driver's license.
I got one better for you before y'all go. I got to
yes.
Get ready to do something. And I'm interested in hearing True on this one, too, and all the other guys. Did you know the United States government, this is a number from I think it was 98 or 99, I did it on a show with Sean, spends over $150 billion on single-parent programs and less than $150 million on married parent programs. I'll yield to you brothers now.
I'm going to bring in True to talk about, when we talk about the system, this is what I think, you know, the government gets antsy when people start to learn about the system and learn ways of what's going on behind the scenes when we talk about, you know, they start mentioning the sovereign citizens and things like that. Look, people are tired of being oppressed, and they were understanding. We have whistleblowers. We have information now. We have the computers. So they have people out there that are, you know, trying to basically make it seem like, oh, the people are getting out of hand. No, the people are investigating and revealing, which is what this 2014 year is about. It's about revelation, okay? It's about unity. So we have people out there like investigative reporters like Freeman who will tell you, and True Freeman, welcome to Thor Radio. I want you, True, to go into Well, you can give a couple of minutes on what you've heard so far, and then go into the money that is made with the prison system and the things that you've learned about the prison system, the bonds, the things, the money that is made outside of even what Greg and I have discussed.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's going on? Peace to all. You know,
all right.
Much respect to, you know, everybody
right.
on the call. You know, there's a lot been said. I pretty much agree. This is the thing. It's not just tied to the prison system. It's just the system as a whole. We can pick any part of the system out and get to the same conclusion. It boils down to the dollar bill, okay, or what they call the dollar bill. So literally, it's not just the prison system when we talk about and how much they making off of this. It's the system in general, not literally just the prison system. Now, the prison system takes a greater advantage. They have a greater advantage, and they actually profit maybe more. I don't have any exact numbers or anything like that. But you have to look at what's being done when anyone is put into the prison system. It has nothing to do with black or white or anything like that. If you able to get on, look at the prison system as a plantation. That's exactly what it is. It's modern day slavery. Okay, so when you're on when you're in the prison and you making license plates, right, and you making a couple cents an hour or something like that, you know, I have not had the what they call privilege of going to prison. I revoke that privilege. But when you have them making these license plates, for instance, and they getting paid cents per hour, the prison complex itself, these private prison complexes, are making what a skilled, talented individual would make. This is what they are charging the system per man. You see what I'm saying? So just to give you an example, let's just say that if you made license plates for a living in some type of factory outside of the prison system and they pay $17, $20 an hour, or their starting pay would be, you know, $15 and above, then one in prison making that same plate is only making cents per hour, but that prison industrial complex itself is actually making the fair, what would they call it, the fair market value of the labor. So Basically it's a slave trade. Not only is it a slave trade based on they get to have you perform certain types of labor and milk you, okay, you basically producing free labor, which is what a slave does, so I really have no problem with that when you people agree to be slaves and keep playing in the system. But not only are they making that, they also raping the trust of the individual. Not only are they doing that, they're not – these bonds tie a lot into it based on the fact of you look at the court system, and I give that credit to Brother Yahshua, because a lot of people are slipping on that information. That, you know, I don't think people understand how powerful it is on top of you know, the information I revealed in the bonds, as well as, you know, like what Carol King found out on the backside of, you know, this situation. It all boils down to insurance. Every single one, every individual, company, institution, whatever we deal with, they're bonded and insured. They have to.
So you're saying it really has nothing to do with crime, True. It's all money, and it's money on top of crime. And we should know that because, and Greg would know that, and Phil would know that. And Greg, I appreciate you giving me a few more minutes because we were tied up and we have to bring the women in. But we have to understand that it's more than just crime. We understand the prison system, but there's also bonds and commerce, municipal bonds, that these private corporations, police departments, these courts run. They make money behind the scenes in bonds. Many times you hear the prosecutor come out and be like, we have a 97% conviction rate. Well, let's translate that into Wall Street terms. I have a 97% markup. So people go in there and they buy municipal bonds. You need to look that up on the courts where you can buy bonds, which are essentially cases, traffic cases, criminal cases, you name it. You can invest in those bonds, and these courts make money off of selling those bonds based on the fact that your prosecutors say we have a 96, 95, 93% conviction rate. And they do, because they get you to plead, and then we have the child support system, and we have CPS, which we now know is a private organization, and they're taking your children. So wreaking havoc, we understand, and there was this article, and I'll say right quick, there was an article of a prosecutor in one of those states, I have to look it up. He had basically like $100 million in child support payments, and he didn't want to give it up. And he says, it's private money, it's a private corporation. He kind of let it out. But I just want the women to know what's really going on, that people don't know what's going on behind the scenes, that everything is not what you think. Crime pays. It pays for the police departments, which is why we're seeing an increase in abuse and violence
against the people. And I just read you the article saying that the Corrections Corporation of America wants a 90% occupancy. So there's going to be more child support, and that's why we have people like Greg there, and we want to educate them. And I think when the child support issue are able to be taken off of the men, at least in terms of incarceration, I think that's another element we can remove to start putting the man and the woman back together and having them talking. We understand that the men have a responsibility, too, towards the situation, but we understand the women have the comfort in the situation through divorce, through welfare, through child support, you know, and things of that nature. Men don't have that. So Greg spoke profoundly on a couple of things that affect the hate and the feelings and emotions that are involved. True Freeman definitely made a lot of points talking about the system as well. I just want to wrap
up and give Blue Pill a chance to come in.
Hey, True Freeman, would that amount also include the amount of money that that man, if he had his family with him, would be making if he had children and had insurance on the children or what have you? That $19 an hour would probably be escalated because of benefits and other things that he doesn't get as well.
There you go.
Absolutely, like I said, I agree with what you said, and let me make a couple comments. You know, when you said something about it being our property, and basically it's, you know, they are basically committing criminal offenses by what they're doing. But I posted a comment in the chat. I said it's not your property. I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but I said it's not your property if you have not claimed it. So it's, in reality, they are within the law. They are within the law because we continue to participate in it. We continue to not correct our status. People like, that status is BS. No, it's not, because your status right now is a corporate slave, is a U.S. citizen, is a fictitious entity, is a fictitious person. Look, if people look these words up, it'll tell you.
Look it up.
You see what I mean? So if you don't, the whole basis of everything is a claim. This is what everybody is missing. We don't want to make a claim. We want to allow others to make a claim, which is the government and the political subdivisions, municipalities and corporations, etc. We don't make our own claim and force them to counter it. We allow them to make a claim, and then we go in and argue with them. I mean, I think people are missing the whole point about what this problem is, and it's the claim. They're claiming ownership of the children. They let you basically babysit them, okay? If you, what they feel, damage or harm their children because you haven't claimed them, they have a right to charge you. It's funny how this thing works, and it's all, it starts with a claim. It starts with a claim. And I hope people understand that. And it was, I got a suggestion too. I got a suggestion, since Brother Sharif is mentioning the, and once the men bow out, we get a chance to listen to some of the knowledgeable queens that are on the call, and probably some of the knowledgeable elder queens. But I got a suggestion that I've been pushing for years on other people's shows, etc., but everybody keeps looking over what I'm saying. I got an idea that I've been having and been pushing, that minimum us as a melanated community, if we can get the people to come together, we can shut down the child support system. One way to shut down the child support system, and then I listen to everybody else out after this, because I think this is very key. I think this can destroy the system. Instead of allowing the women to contract with the state, how about the fathers realize, along with the mothers, that y'all have something in common that's going to basically make it to where y'all have to deal with each other for the rest of y'all natural lives?
I agree.
Should be in the best interest of your property. I'm getting off of child, kid, but I have to say those words, but if I say it, I mean property, because my kids, what they call my kids, is my property. So let's look at it like this. This would be a cure and a remedy, which is Let's look at all the sisters that are on welfare. You have a lot of sisters that are on welfare. You have that have the fathers on child support, and there's a reason behind that. If you study it, you know that in order for her to continue to receive those funds, she have to snitch. And who they want her to snitch on? The father. Why they want her to snitch on the father is based on the fact so that everything they given her, even though she's all automatically entitled to that, they want to go after the father to recoup it, right? So this is part of them breaking up the family. All this stuff, you know, fall into place. You know, it's hand in hand. Now, let's just look at me. Let's just use, I'm going to use myself as an example. Say my kid's mother had me on child support, which she did, okay? And let's just hypothetically speak and say they're giving her $150 in food stamps a month and a $150 check, you know, welfare check or whatever, you know, basically can be used as cash. Now, they're giving her that. They have me in the system paying the system, and the child support money does not go to my child. It goes to them paying it back. That's what it's for. So how about, and even if the women that have the fathers on child support and they do not receive government assistance, this works both ways because it's like this. Let's just say a woman receiving public assistance from the state has the father on child support so she can continue to get that money, and also she need help, but she's getting $300 between food stamps and cash. Now let's look at the woman that the other women, small portion is a decent portion, but smaller than the ones receiving public assistance. So let's say she's receiving $300. Well, she has an order for $300 from him, but it has to route through the state, right? Which they get a cut. And it's like, no matter what, she possibly doesn't get the whole $300. So, and I'm kind of over this, but here's the point. All these men on child support can get themselves off if they would sit down and communicate with the mother. Some may say I have. Well, you may have not communicated in the right way. What do I see as a suggestion? If I have a baby's mother that's on welfare, she's getting $150 in food stamps and she's getting $150 in cash, and they got me in the system. I got to spend extra money to go downtown to park to go pay the child support. I got to do the same and go sit in the courtroom for 3-4 hours when they want to hold me in, bring me in for compliance hearings to make sure I'm paying. It's too much trouble for me. So if she's receiving $300 from the state, don't you? And the ones we think that's after money, all of them ain't after money. A lot of them just, you know, never had a father in their life to begin with, so it caused a lot of problems, as Brother Sharif was saying. But if she's receiving $300 in benefits from the state, and I have to pay the state at least $300 so they can recoup it, wouldn't it be in the best interest for me to talk to her? If I had to add another $50 or $100 onto it, even another $50 would help. Okay, I'll tell you what. We can do a contract with each other. You get off the system. You're getting $300 from them now. I'm willing to give you $350 a week. I'm willing to give you $400 a week. This is my agreement. I'm coming to you. This is going to help you out. This is going to give you a little bit more funds than they are giving you, because it's like, we can't really be mad at these women to an extent based on the fact that some of us leave them no other options. You see what I'm saying? You don't want to pay child support. You don't want to support your child, period. You see what I'm saying? But even if we look at it as if it was another woman, I mean, that didn't receive public assistance and she was getting $300, but it was an order through the state, and if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. If the state don't get it, she don't get it. You would make an agreement with her on the same terms. I'll give you $350. You getting $300 now, and I don't pay it sometime because I want to make you suffer because you got me suffering sitting downtown. You know.
All right, I can feel that, Greg. Why don't you jump in, and then I'm bringing Pill in, and I just want to say this right quick before Greg responds to that. I think that becomes difficult because I think even with the child support issue, when you're dealing with the welfare in the system, they're going to add up whether that child support is going to put you over the threshold to continue to receive the Section 8 or anything else. So I think the system is already designed that they keep most of that money. Again, they're getting cash in from the man, and they're giving coupons out to the women or cheese or whatever have you. So I don't know if that's going to exactly work because you have to give that mother enough for her to have to forego the Section 8, the cell phone, and the other benefits that they're giving them. They keep the benefits high to keep the man in the system that if he makes that mistake, he's going to jail. Greg, what do you think about that? And then I got the pills line up, but I'm going to let him come in. And I know you got to go, Greg.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly and 100% with what True said. And especially I want to definitely expand upon the idea that the child no longer is viewed as a child. It's viewed as an instrument, but more so an instrument of discontent and destruction for many people. Because sometimes what's lost in this is that the other party may have other things to do, but I wholeheartedly support the idea of getting rid of it. And one of the things that I do is because of the Greg Doss document prep, Freeman, if you know people, if you and your child's mother come to an agreement and it gets notarized and goes into the public record, then it's a contract. It's binding. And I do think that if you do
exactly
this,
that, I didn't get to say that, but exactly what you just said was the ending part of it, because you now, instead of the child's mother creating a contract with the state that we work together with our child's mother, even if it costs us a little bit more. The thing is to pull her out the system, whether we with her or not. If we're going to work together, exactly what you just said was the ending comment, that it's contract.
I think that's hard to do. I'm going to bring in Pill, but I think that's hard to do because you just can't come in. If they're giving her $300, you just can't come in with $350 because she still has the Section 8. She still has everything else. She has the free cell phone. She has the free gas maybe once a week. You're going to have to come, and you have to come together, and the women can't give up that comfort zone because there's more to it than just the support.
Well, the one thing
is,
They're going to get that anyway. If you go to the Article 22 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it's clear. The child is the one who's actually entitled to it. They try to attach the woman and say, well, your benefits will be cut. The children will get what they get. And I think the comfort goes back to what Freed was saying. It's the ability to enact or exact some sort of animus against the guy who, quite frankly, probably didn't want to be with her anyway. And those things don't get spoken to quite the way that they probably should. But don't forget, if you make a claim for your property, gentlemen, then you have what is called interest, and now you are a real party of interest that you can go and show. But I'm gonna stay on my public side, so to speak, of things. But he's absolutely correct. It's, you know, sometimes when you change perspective, you will change your results. Gradoff.com.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm going to bring in the pill. I want, Greg, for you to give out, because I know you have other obligations. Give out your information. I'm going to have you back, Greg, if you would so afford us the opportunity, because this needs to be ongoing. We're trying to find solutions. We're going to try to bring the mother and the father together to see if we can bridge that family unit back together, and maybe our government will wake up and give some incentives for keeping the family together that may be struggling, okay, instead of putting the father in jail and having him work for 25 cents an hour. So, Greg, give out your information, your website, your email address, and all that information. I'm sure there's a lot of brothers that want to connect with you, and I hope to have you back here soon at your next available opportunity to continue discussing this, because we got to build up the men. We got to get them a little bit more responsible as well, but we have to deal with the women issue, and I just think we couldn't get over to the men until we realize, you know, the buffer that is in between, and that's some state benefits, you know, that the government has all power to give, just to continue destroying the men, black, white, and brown. Let's just keep it real.
That's a universal issue. Let's not forget that but the men are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, which are among them are life, liberty, and that pursuit of happiness, and that to secure and not grant those rights, the government has been instituted among men, deriving their just power through the consent of the government. But that's not me. That's the Declaration of Independence, if you want to call it for what it is. But with that being said, you can go to www.gregdoss.com. You can contact me. The numbers on the site are actually my number. I don't know if Freed ever used it, but Sharif can verify that that's actually my phone number on that site. And if anybody wants to email me, you can email me at gregdoss@gregdoss.com or gregdossdocuments@gmail.com. I'll be doing a webinar on how to get prepared for court this weekend, kind of like a quick how-to thing, because preparation in the beginning is ultimately most important. And I have, when you email, I'll email it back to you. But to think that you can't contract with the other party people, don't underestimate the value in that. The people at Greg Documents, because, you know, notaries can't really prepare the paper they have an interest in, but the people at Greg Documents, Preparation and Self-Help Service, that corporation, has a notary on hand by the name of Shagret Doss, who could notarize any contract within the state of Florida. And it happened before. And once that contract goes into the public record, true or validated, that is the thing that you can take into any venue. And once that signature is on it, or that notary stamp is on it, it's law.
Yeah. Hey, Greg Doss, let me say this. This is only the second time I've ever heard you talk. The first time I heard you talk, I know you know the controversy that's going on, but no issues with you. I agree. The first time I heard you, I agree with you. I just, you know, I have my personal beliefs and about some certain things, but it has.
Yeah, Greg knows his stuff. Greg knows his stuff. He knows his stuff. That's his lane now. The brother done been. He's been through it.
And he's talking about the UN treaties. See, everybody's looking over these UN treaties, Universal Declaration of the Rights of the Child, Universal Declaration of the Rights of the Indigenous People, Declaration of the Rights of the, what's the other one? I just done a call on that, a talk show call on it. But I'm going to tell you something. If people go understand what the international laws and treaties are in regards to nation having abide by, you will look at the Constitution as a food stamp. When you look at national treaties, these international treaties that say that, see, the Constitution allows slavery. People say it don't. Yes, it does, okay? You need to go check it out. You don't pay attention. Prison system, slavery, it allows slavery for what they call the commission of a crime. They can enslave you, which is what the prison system is. When you go look at these international treaties, the international treaties do not allow no form of slavery.
Period.
Right.
Period.
Right.
But I will be getting with you, brother, and we're going to...
Right.
Gonna,
internationally, it is illegal, and women, y'all need to look at the international Declaration of Human Rights, Declarations of a Child. A lot of these benefits that you're getting, you're already entitled to, and the reason why they're doing it, of course, I believe, is to get to the men, put them in prison, keep you menless, and we need to try to bridge that and have the women and the men come to an agreement, and then let's work to get the women and the men and the children back together. But I want to thank Greg for coming in. If you want to stand by, I just wanted to have your information out there in case you had to transition out. And, look, I love you, brother. You're definitely a master on this subject. You've added a lot of information to us, and the women probably going to come in, and you're going to slide out. But I think me and True and Pill will be here, but I wanted to give Pill, if you could just give me 5 minutes, I want Pill to come in because he's been patient and quiet, and I'm trying to juggle everybody, let the Pill come in and give a few minutes before we let the women come on in here.
Yes. Hey, please, at any time, you all can
spell his last name for us.
Oh, I apologize. My name is, the website is Greg Golf Romeo Echo Golf. Last name is Delta Oscar Sierra Sierra, all one word, .com, gregdoss.com, but I am Shagret.
So GregDoss.com.
Yes, and I appreciate
it. And True Freeman also, don't forget about him. He has a Facebook and about a million videos. He's on True Freeman. give your email address, True Freeman. It's straight. Go ahead, True. Give it to him. Why am I trying to do it?
Straight, that's STR, the number 8. S is in Sam, T is in Tom, R is in Roll, the number 8. Exposing. E is in Edward, X is in xylophone, P is in Paul, O is in octagon, S is in Sam, I is in igloo, N is in Nancy, G is in George, E is in Edward, M is in Mary, @gmail.com. And you can Google True Freeman. I'm going to come up in a type search. You can go to Facebook, True Free Man. You can go to YouTube and type in True Free Man. Then my contact information is all TalkShoe, same thing.
Yes, sir. True Free Man is a good investigative reporter. Y'all need to get on his Facebook. I mean, he does that. That's a reporter right there. That's our underground CNN, MSNBC, but on real topics. He's been out there a long time. All of these brothers on the call have been out there a long time, and you know they're worth listening to, both men and women. I mean, we're giving you the behind the scenes, the information. We're not anti anything. We're not anti family. Not anti child. We're not anti government. These brothers are not out there beating anybody in the head. They're not stealing. They're not sovereign citizens. They're educators, and they're giving you information, and you can take from it what you want. We all don't agree on everything. We respect each other for the information that's reciprocated, and some of us, we agree, you know, almost eye to eye on things, but it's good when the brothers can come together and provide that information. And, you know, as you can see, the men are still being men. We just have to find that connection again and get through all of this red tape to find our way back to the homes and the family. So I want to thank Greg KC Transitions, but Pill, you go ahead, introduce yourself to these brothers, give us some last remarks, and then I got to get the women in or they are absolutely going to shut me down.
Appreciate you and yours, Brother Pupil, for Live and Direct, representing PSL Media. I want to give a shout-out to our brother Greg. Gave a thorough breakdown of this dynamic that affects us all. And as I was sitting there and I was listening to him, I couldn't help but thinking, you know, about Martin Luther King talking about integrating into this burning house. And it's almost like, you know, we bum rushed the show, you know what I'm saying, to get a front row seat of this burning house, you know what I'm saying, to get on that open couch. And what he was talking about is pretty much spurred by the consumerism, you know what I'm saying, and our lack of self-identity. The fact that we really wanted what white folks got, you know what I'm saying, and we was willing to do whatever to get it. And I don't know at what point in time that happened, whether it was the early 60s or the late 60s, or it was a seed that was planted before that, Tulsa, and they say, you know, you build something up and the folks can come along and they're going to burn your shit down, but they don't speak about the fact that Tulsa was rebuilt in 5 years. You know, those people had a certain will and determination to put their thing back together. This integration that killed Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, once they were allowed to go and spend their dollars elsewhere, they ran and they did that because they felt that, you know, what the folks had on the other side of town, I guess, was better than theirs, or they just wanted to try out diversity. And, you know, once our people were given these options to do business in other places and not with their own, you know, or the women were given options to exercise these dreams that they've always had of whatever it was that they was marketing to them at that particular time, coupled with the fact that we were experiencing a sexual revolution, the things that the 60s became known for, the same things that they used against us, which were drugs and free sex, you know? And the fact that, you know, nobody really got out front and got a handle on these particular things, they kind of spiraled out of control, you know, at the same time that a bunch of those other programs kicked in and, you know, the assassination attempts and the wars and everything. So I was appreciative of the insight that the brother was able to offer us, especially, you know, us younger brothers, so we're able to see exactly what it is that we're looking at and get some points of reference, especially dealing with the whole Patrick Moynihan and the legislation that he put out. I don't really hear a lot of people talking about that. And that's somewhat, you know, that was like our death blow leading up to what Reagan came along and did afterwards and just swept things under the rug. And our people haven't recovered ever since. We're just looking at the fallout, pointing fingers at it. So that's pretty much all that I had to say on the subject matter. You know, I think that the brother gave expert analysis as only he could. I've never been in court for child support. And, you know, I do definitely know a plethora of brothers that have. I'll pass this information along to them. I extend an invite to all three of you did last weekend, you know what I'm saying, to come on our program and we can continue this program, you know, on another platform, bring this information to the world. You know, I want Brother Sharif you can start building up with your presentation that you did last week, coupled with what the brother did today. And I think that we got a good taste on our hands. We can package this thing and take the bad boys to the UN.
Oh, yeah. When you go on KTL Radio, you know, that's Black Oprah over there. I mean, these brothers been, I'm being serious. I mean, a lot of people got their start with the pills. And that's Black Oprah. That's Time Warner over there, to let y'all know. So, Greg, you're in good hands. And when the pills say they're going, you know, he wants you to come on and expose you, yeah. You know, you need to get some more minutes on your phone if you're not on
brother,
unlimited.
Yeah.
And get some paper. Get a new printer.
I'm back in New York, and I'm on the train, so I'm about to go through a tunnel. So this phone is about to cut.
Okay, brother.
I want to definitely say thank you to everyone. I look forward to what the women have to say, so I'll definitely be listening to the show in the archive. I love you all. I thank you for this opportunity, and not only to join us, to learn something.
Love you, brother. I appreciate you. I love your energy. I know you waited a while, but definitely love back to you. That's a brother, good brother of mine,
you know,
and a twin.
I was both in the audience as a student and as a listener. So, again, I want to say thank you. And, you know, I say that out with full minds. Indeed.
Thank you, brother. All right, Phil. Thank you. All right, Blue Pill, the women coming in. We have 45 minutes. Unique, I know, is chomping at the bit. I know Lori and Layla and Mother Rudy got a lot to say, and they're going to come in and they're going to throw down, and I'm going to be sitting here and I'm going to have to take my whatever it is. But I know the women come in peace, and I know we're trying to bridge this gap, but we have to understand it from both ends. So, you know, we're going to take a small – let you listen to a small video. Greg, if you can stay in, that's great. If you got to leave out, I appreciate you. I'll be in touch. Greg, we'll be back because we need to continue to build, and we'll put together a show to go on pills on KTL Radio, and that'll be real big because he has a ear to the community like no other. So I'm going to take a short break, play this video for us on Tavis Smiley. We're going to come back in 4 minutes, 52 seconds, bring in the women, and we're going to keep going. True, hope you can stay along. Greg, I hope you can too, but if not, I'll be here.
I'm here.
Peace.
So Tavis Smiley decides to go on the No Spin Zone, and he's going to make two great points here that I absolutely love. The only thing I love more is at the very end, Bill O'Reilly's reaction, so let's all pay close attention.
African Americans are not seeing that same kind of empathy and appreciation for the humanity of Trayvon that they saw for the children of Sandy Hook. I'm waiting to hear, I haven't heard it yet, I'm waiting to hear the NRA say that if Trayvon Martin had had a gun, he might still be alive today. The bottom line is that race is still the most intractable issue in this country. And when an adult can profile and stalk and kill a child in America, our democracy is threatened.
You said that America has
it is
contempt for black
absolutely
men. And
absolutely.
They don't. America doesn't have contempt. That's wrong.
That's not true. I'll back it up right now. I've said already that black men so often are viewed in this country as a menace to society, number one. Number two, look at the criminalization, the over-criminalization of black boys in our education system, number two. Number three, look at the racist drug laws. You got to get caught with more crack than powder cocaine to get the same sentence. Look at the high unemployment numbers in this country with specific regard to African-American men. And finally, consider this, Bill. The only reason why this case even was brought in the first place, the only reason why they ever came to trial is because there was a national hue and cry. If there was a value for black male life in America that there is for white male life in America, it wouldn't have required all that it took just to get this even, the charges even filed, the case even brought,
look,
Bill.
I'm glad the case came to trial. I think the trial was fair, and all the points you raise are societal problems where there is another side. There's genocide going on in Chicago, and it's blacks killing blacks, okay? Whites have nothing to do with it. I don't believe that America has contempt for black men. I believe a lot of the problem is generated by the blacks themselves that won't solve the problems of their neighborhood.
I could solve the problem too. Arm every black person in America, and then let's see what the NRA has to say.
All right, Davis. I mean, that's a little extreme.
Oh, I love that. I mean, wait. We argue that all white people should be armed all the time. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, right? That's the only thing that stops it. Arm everybody so they can protect themselves. Oh, wait. We didn't mean black people. I mean, that's a little extreme. No, hey, don't be crazy, dog, okay? I mean, I didn't mean black men. That's crazy talk. You know how they are. Thank you very much for proving Tavis Smiley's point perfectly, right? Now, Smiley also mentioned in there, he said, oh, right, it's like, hey, you can't prove it. It reminded me, of course, tides go in, tides go out. You can't explain that. And he's like, well, actually, I can. Let me give you a four-part thesis on it. One thing he didn't even mention is blacks and whites in this country use drugs at the same exact rate, you know, per capita, as a percentage of the population, et cetera, right? But blacks get arrested at four times the rate. So that was done in a recent study in some cities and some states at eight times the rate of whites. No, you can't say that Americans treat blacks in any way differently. No, of course not. No, I mean, I wouldn't give them guns or anything like that. Look at the genocide they're committing in Chicago. All of a sudden, it's a genocide. Look, we talk about Chicago on the show all the time. But to say that, to turn that around, like, there's no, black people don't have any problem with whites in this country. They don't have any problem with injustice in this country. The only problem black people have is, according to O'Reilly, you heard it right there in that clip, other black people. You have the same problem as white people do, black people. He said, oh, no, blacks are doing it to themselves. They're doing the genocide. And then I love the earlier point Smiley made as well. Hey, how come the NRA hasn't come out and said, if Trayvon just had a gun, he'd be alive today? Isn't that what they say in almost every instance? The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun who comes and picks a fight with you and follows you around the neighborhood and stalks you is a good guy with a gun. If Trayvon had the gun, we wouldn't have had this tragedy in the first place. Wow, that's really weird. The NRA didn't say that. It seemed like all the gun advocates seemed to be on Zimmerman's side, even though he's the one that seemed to have started the altercation, certainly followed Trayvon, and he's the one that killed Trayvon. Now, if you have a gun and you're using it against a black guy, you are by definition innocent. But I don't know what Tavis Smiley would be talking about. Discrimination against blacks in this country? Oh, no. Only by other blacks. That's O'Reilly's theory.
All right, there we go. I want to bring the women in, and first, I want to thank, man, Brother Greg, who is still here. He's going to stay around. I want to get the queens and the mothers in. Yama's here. I'm going to open up her line. Mother Rudy is here, who is an ordained minister. I have Layla. I have Lori here, and Sister Unique, some of the most outward-spoken women that we know. I'm sure they're going to address a lot of issues, and I'm sure they're going to have a few things. We're going to sit back as men, and we're going to hear from the other side. We're going to hear what they feel are issues and things that may help bring the woman back, the magnet back, the electricity, and we're going to hear from them in one moment. I want to say to everybody that we appreciate you participating in the show. We're hoping that we're doing something, at least having the discussion, which I don't think we have enough, and then getting on to solutions. True Freeman introduced some solutions. It's coming together in the spirit of contract. And Greg mentioned, you know, trying to, I know our women are often bullied and manipulated. They don't really have an understanding of law of like these men on the panel do. These men study it. And it may sound all foreign to you and weird, but I know that we get lied to every day. I know law enforcement officers lie to us every day. I know politicians lie to us, public officials, they lie to us. They probably tell you, no, you can't do this, or you're not going to get the welfare. No, you can't do a contract because it's not like this. No, you can't talk to the father because if you do, with all those things we have to deal with, and we have to find a way to bring the family back together. So I'm going to open up Lori, Unique, Layla, Yama, and Mother Rudy. Your line is open. Of course, you are home, and you've heard a lot today. I know you've probably taken notes. I have some very sharp women around me, so I know there's probably a lot of things you want to touch on. I'm going to open up the line, and y'all are free to go. Rudy, you can start off. Rudy, your line is open. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, fantastic. I'm in complete awe of the educational level of the guests that you brought on. Again, I'm very proud of who they are, what they represent, and also the fact that they have gone through some things and been able to master some things to come back and to educate and to empower not only the men, but the women. And you're absolutely right. They are well endowed with a lot of wonderful information that women need to know in order to make some conscious decisions about how to move forward with the care and concern of their offspring. I believe that Yama and myself would be the older two on the call, and in our day, or at least when we talk about my day, we didn't experience some of the things or have to face some of the things that the young women have to face today in terms of raising the children. I remember hearing one of the young men say that the village would raise the children, and obviously the village only had one chief. So in situations like that, when young girls did get into some type of difficulty, there was support to help bring that child forward in a wholesome and happy environment. But today you don't face that. There was a time that people had a lot of pride about themselves, and so the families would take on the economic responsibility of raising that child, or in some cases those children, so that the children could have a happy life, and that the mother could go ahead at some point in time, go to school, go to the service, and get her life together. There was no dependency on the system because the system was not an option. And the problem we have now that the system is, in some instances, as far as young people are concerned, is the only option. So we've got to get back to basics to understand where we are, how we got here, and like you said, how we can turn it around. I'm just amazed at the information they shared. I'm just amazed, and I'm very happy that they brought this forward, and hopefully they'll be able to come back again. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. Yama, once you come on in here, I got to have the elders. I have to have the matriarchs, the knowledge and the wisdom come in and provide their assessment and their information. I know we talked about a lot, so Yama, you come on in and bless the family with your feelings.
Yes. See, Sharif, much respect for the truth that came forth from men who know their position based on their education or their upbringing. We're truly, Greg Doris,
yes.
Greg Doris. True Freeman, Blue Pill,
mm-hmm.
and C. Sharif. It's nothing like a male being born, and even though he's navigating through the world system or where he's living, his environment, that he catch hold of being a man. It's very important to be a man, and that's what's happening to the men of today, or the males that have been born. They lost their manhood because they didn't have a home. I was thinking that whenever I would travel, even when I was young with my parents, when we'd go on vacations, and when I got older, no matter how beautiful the place we went, there was no place like home. When you got back home, you knew everything was in order. That was the place that you wanted to be, even if you planned another trip. But there's no place like going home. And so until young men realize who they are, and that's their home, they have to realize who they are. My issue is that we've been told so many, given so many names, the melanated people in America. We've been given so many names, we don't even know who we are. So if you don't have a foundation and if you don't have a base to build upon, how are you going to succeed in this world system that has been programmed? According to last night, I was listening to the program. I can't think of the young man's name.
Yeah, Eddie Craig.
Yes. The system is built against who? Everyone that's in the system, not based on your where you were raised or what education you have or what type of networking you have with others. The whole system, the transportation system, the motor vehicle system, that's what we heard last night, is totally against all people. It's based on greed, making money. So until black men find out exactly who they are and what their mission is toward being a family and not make mistakes of maybe their forefathers, but be willing to change, renew your mind. You have to get a new mindset if you're going to make it through this system. And it's all based on educating yourself. When you hear something and you're doing just the opposite, then stop doing what you're doing and do what you hear. Do the truth that you hear. Apply it to your everyday life so you can grow, so you can elevate, so you can get in another realm, so you can be untouchable. If you don't break the law, you don't get penalized. But if the mindset, I have to live, I have to break the law in order to make money, then you're setting yourself up for a prison term. So we have to get a new mindset. Men have to realize that they can't abandon the woman. If you abandon a woman, you abandon your children, and then you put yourself in a deep pit because the system is coming after you. Wouldn't your choice be better to stay and unite and be at unity with your family, even if you don't marry the woman, even if you don't marry her? But wouldn't you want to have that connection for your children, so the next generation could prosper? They'll have an inheritance. So I'm all about changing your mind. If you're doing the wrong thing, if you keep doing it, you go into a deeper hole. Change your mind so you can elevate. Increase your knowledge, increase your truth, and live by it. It might be hard in the beginning because you feel that, oh, how am I going to get the money? Truth will take you there. Lies will bring you down. Not knowing yourself, you're always searching. You never have a home. If you don't have a home, how are you going to have a community? How are you going to have a family? How are you going to take care of your children? How are you going to respect yourself? It all starts at home.
Mother, let me interrupt you real quick. We have 15 seconds left in the live stream. For those that want to continue this listening on the internet or in the chat room, 657-383-0332. You need to call right now, but we have 10 seconds in the live stream. So just go ahead and continue, Mother. Give me a little bit on, you know, Grace touched on a lot of things. We all touched on a lot of things with the plight of the woman and the welfare issue, and I know you're saying, you know, the men can't abandon the children, but I mean, we have to be real about it, Mata, we're seeing that the benefits stacking up for them to do exactly that, and then we're seeing that the system, because you're put into a project, because you're put into a prison of sorts, where there's women that are like-minded, going through the same thing, going to have the same stress, has no men, no father, that, you know, they then allow you to unleash that anger and those emotions and that get back with the system. And we have to address that, Mother, if you would kind of go into that a little bit and try to appeal to the women on how we can get around that. Or for the men, like Greg said, he brought up a good point that how can you love something that causes you so much pain? And I don't think the pain is necessarily all of the money, but it's the stress of dealing with women that are already stressed and they have multiple kids and multiple kids' fathers and on the system, and the system telling them what to do, and then the men are not around and they really can't have a man because they have a man. They got to forfeit, you know, all the other benefits of the bread and the food and the housing because they're not used to depending on the man. So if they get together, we know there's going to be some explosions. There's going to be, and she's already so-called independent, or at least dependent on the state, will provide an independence from a man. How do we deal with all of that, Mother?
Wow. I mean, that's. I still have to come back to what I said. You have to change your thinking. You have to have a new mindset. You can't continue thinking the way you always thought and getting no results that will benefit you. I mean, it has to start somewhere. So maybe there'll be a generation that missed it. But then we have all these radio blog talk programs. We have all these strong men that's leading them. We have the women that's right there with them. So we have to give to the children that are being born, or the children that are young now. We have to, their minds have to have a different mechanism of working through the system, and not based on worrying or being concerned because they didn't have a father or their mother didn't do the right thing. Like I said before, there is a lot of information that's out there, and even if we have to go into the communities, maybe not into the communities, but let the communities know there's shows on Blog Talk. There's radio programs. Why don't you have in your community centers, why don't you tune it in, have someone to tell them what it's all about, and let them see the lives of their parents, whether they're parents who are respectful and training them right, or parents that's not really doing the right thing. But they have to. It has to start somewhere. And I know it can be done. I know it can be done. See, when I grew up, my mom and dad never went on welfare. Not that anything was wrong with it, but when my parents were young and they had seven children, when my mom was 27, she had me. I'm the youngest. What she had was her mother. My grandfather died in a car accident in the 30s or the 40s, early 40s. And what she had was a support system because her children, most of them had moved up north. She was still in Florida. They sent money back to their mother every month. They sent money to their mother. She had a savings. When her children needed money, she sent the money back. So we have to realize that unity in the family, you leave no one out. You have aunts and uncles. I heard, I think you, Sharif, you were talking about respect with the other brother, about children respecting them. There was always respect, and the neighbors could tell you what to do. We have to get back to that. The neighbors could chastise you, but the only way the neighbors can chastise you and correct you now, they have to be well-versed in how to raise a family, and they have to have connections. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. You have to have connection with truth, and that'll take you into the spiritual level. You can't do that when you're not dealing in truth. It won't take you anywhere. It's a dead end street. So there's so much truth out there, and how men should be treating their children, how the unity in the family, how women have to realize that they're not independent. They're not independent. I don't care how much money they're making. They're not independent. It's nothing like having unity in the family and everyone are on one accord. So when the child goes someplace, they already have the teaching. I know how to choose between right and wrong. And they make that choice, knowing they have to come back home with the consequences.
That's right, Mother. It's very strong. I thank you. Lori, why don't you come on in and Unique, and then let's get Layla, and then let's get, you know, men stand by. I'm sure Unique's going to light a barbecue up around here. And Lori, so Lori, what's your take on that? I know you know, if I would share a little bit, I know you have experiences with single motherism, okay, and not relying upon the system. Tell us a little bit about your personal experiences, if you would.
Well, first of all, I want to say that one of the most powerful things that I heard Greg say was, heavy is the head who wears the crown. And I think in any home, there is a crown to be worn. And you know, and that is a heavy load, but someone's got to wear it. as far as the single mother thing, from my own experience, I didn't take the bait. You know, the welfare system, you know, everybody can relate to the cheese block. My aunts were on welfare, and every time we'd go visit, you know, they would always dice up their cheese because, you know, oh, we can't eat all this cheese. Y'all need to take some of the cheese home. But, you know, as we all know, cheese is one of the most common things used in any trap. But anyway, I didn't want to be, you know what I mean? But I didn't want to be dependent upon the system. I had too much pride, and I know sometimes pride can be a bad thing. However, my pride was used in a way from my heart and what I wanted my kids to see and my kids to correlate to me. And I'm not saying that people on welfare are bad or good or indifferent. I'm saying from my perspective, this is what I wanted in my home and for my family and for my sons to be raised with. And from that, the one thing that they all say, and I made a lot of mistakes, but mistakes are so beautiful. Mistakes teach you so much more than success, and they teach you a lot about yourself, you know, and if you can just find the will within to get up and carry on, you know, you'd be surprised what you can carry. But, you know, but what I was going to say is my sons, they, when we talk and we reflect back on things, you know, the one thing that they do recognize from their experience, from their eyes, is that they did see mistakes or they did see the perpetual trying and, you know, the different things, you know, just the whole evolution of life. And they said, you know, the one thing that echoed so strongly from them is, it's never too late to correct a mistake. And they, I see them utilizing that in their own lives. But I want to say, though, that what people don't get, I don't think, is how powerful the media is. And the media, I mean, it comes not only through the TV, it comes on our billboards, it comes from people's chatter, it comes from our churches, it comes in many forms and in many ways, and it's piled on us every day for us to consume, conform, and obey in our mindset, in our mind, and who we are, what we are, who we can be or who we can't be. And if you look outwardly all the time, you're never ever looking inwardly. So with that, I would say just, you know, if everyone could maybe just stop and pause on that for a minute and think about how much you really are buying into opposed to what you really believe deep in your heart and deep in your spirit, and maybe come from that place instead of the other. And from my journey through this whole, you know, starting off, you know, with what some would consider a bad set of cards or whatever, you know, the father of my children, he was my childhood sweetheart. And being raised in a Southern Baptist church, you know, it was hell and brimstone and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, you're taught to be a good girl. Well, I dated your father all throughout high school, and I was a good girl until that last year. I wasn't so good. But I fell into the trap of thinking that I needed to please him. I needed to, because, you know, I had made him wait or whatever. And I got outside of myself, and, you know, I didn't rely on what I thought was right. You know, for the longest time I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go to hell so I can't have sex. And then I got into the trap of, oh, I need to please him, so I need to have sex. And it's just a messed up deal. And, you know, if we would maybe help to communicate with our young children at home and help to steer them in the right way of really becoming independent and thinking for themselves and not looking to necessarily the church's opinion, the Kardashians' opinion, even their best friend's opinion, you know, drawing from themselves and starting to realize how important they are and how important their opinions are. And it is their lives that they will journey through for the rest of their lives, and how much of an impact that's going to have on not only the people that you love, but everyone you come in contact with every day for the rest of your life. Your experiences rub off on everybody. So it's even echoed after you're gone, you know, your experiences. It's your imprint on this earth. It is, you know, it is your mark. And so it's up to you how you leave that mark, you know, bottom line. But also I want to say on the welfare thing, you know, whenever we've used that term, like, I don't know, 20,000 times it seems like on this show today, but it kept making me, you know, the word fair kept screaming at me. And fair is a price you pay for passage. So when using welfare, it just made me think, you know, really, is that the price you pay for passage to be well? I don't think so. It's the price you pay for passage to be in bondage. It's the price you pay for passage to continue to be dependent on somebody else. And when you start to be dependent upon yourself and you draw your own strength, I think that's where true freedom starts, not only in your mind, but in your heart and in your spirit. And, of course, you know, the power of money, it is a destroyer. You know, the power of money was left in the hands of just mere mortal men. It was a power too strong for someone that's just a mere mortal to even begin to sit and dole out, regulate, rule, keep from, just all the debris that comes with money. Money is a crazy thing. So I think we need to recognize what money is, as well as respect and regard what it's all about, and respect ourselves most of all, and how our journey or search for money is. A lot of people, in my opinion, you know, do things for just financial compensation on many different levels, whether it's, you know, assisting people or in regards to what we've been talking about today in child support. You know, I think it's, I don't even know. I can't even put it into terms to the thought of being compensated for my child. I can't put my head around that. But when it comes to the father of my children, he got on a bad path, as I shared with y'all last week. And, you know, I left it up to him as to how he wanted to reengage with the kids or not reengage with the kids. And if I would have gotten caught up in the whole dynamics of what the government or what society thought that was best for me on that whole thing, I'd have really got myself in a hot mess, not only at the end of the day when I laid my head down at night, because I have no doubt I would have gotten caught up in a lot of anger, and which then, you know, leads to a lot of animosity, and then it leads to revenge. And as we all know, revenge is not sweet. Revenge is a really bad thing, right? But,
that's right.
You know, to the thought of making him pay for my children in order to see them was just not, it didn't sit right with me. that I left it up to him, but he didn't reengage. However, I would have allowed him to anytime he wanted. But to those women out there that do set and let the system dictate that your child is worth $300 a month for the support, and a man who buys into the thought that your child is worth $300 a month, I say that you need to check yourself. I think a child needs more than a $300 a month thing, and either you're all the way in or you're all the way out.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I want to say this, and I'm going to bring in Unique, and I think we got a caller that wants to chime in as well. And I want to say to Greg, have you had experiences where I know you deal with helping a lot of men with child support. Have you had any couple of experiences where you had possibly a woman that was pursuing a man for support and a man that didn't want to get caught up in that system, and you had both of them willingly to enter into something that would be beneficial to both them, each other, and the child?
Well, absolutely. That's what I was speaking to as far as the contract. And, you know, when children become pawns and tokens is when I get aggravated. And I didn't say this. And it may have come off, you know, as if I have an utter disdain for children. And trust me, I think all situations should be are viewed differently. I do. I'm just human. But when two people can get along, that's what I'm all for. Because quite frankly, I don't care about none of y'all grown folks anyway. I care about the kids. Even children who are born when there's not a cooperative relationship that even could exist. But in instances where a cooperative relationship can exist, I'm all for two parties coming together. I can't really serve as the mediator, so to speak. But if they come to an agreement and the documents are done, even that Greg Dog document, if you're in Florida, of course, and it's notarized, that's the agreement. And what I'll do is, Sister, really, I'm going to send you over one that's done. I'm going to make sure I redact out the names. And you'll see, these things are not that difficult. And really, you can, you know, whatever you all want to come up with, you can come up with. That's called effort, and that's called parenting. And as I said in my delete it, but then mine is my parents worked it out. So I'm not trying to hear no excuses, man. Two people can come together and work it out. Hey, you worked it out long enough to get the child here. If that's truly both parties' interest, then take care of the children. But to answer your question, right. Yes, I've had worked with quite a few people who.
And I know Drew Freeman don't have that issue. He's kept this family together. He talks about how they went through struggles, but look, he's got his family intact, and they're together, and they've been together through thick and thin. Let me see what this call is, 786, and then I want to bring in Unique and Layla. 786-8852, did you want to chime in on the conversation?
Greetings, Brother Hotep. Yeah, I'm just listening because I hope to have y'all both on Dry Bones. On having this.
Oh, this is the man. All right, man, I told Layla to reach out to you. Man, you should have. Yeah. I didn't know you were in. I would have brought you
in a while ago. I'm listening. That's what I do. I listen so I know how to take the conversation. But yeah, in a lot of words, what y'all brothers are saying is very pertinent to this, to what's going on with our people. I'm gonna keep it real brief. Yeah, child support is a big issue. I'm not immune from it, but the sister said something very profound. Your child should not be just worth $300. You need to get involved with him, see what his likings are. Like his brother said, you don't have to be with the mama. I'm a perfect example of that. My kids were all homeschooled, every single one, and became very profound individuals. And so I think it is working together. Now, like I said, you might get some ignorant females and vice versa. Your brothers, that does work in both ways, but I believe that there is a move that we should come together on. And that's, and like my brother just said, if we had enough time to make them, we should have enough time to sit down and see how we can deal with them. That other thing about the welfare, and I'm going to make it brief, welfare is a very serious subject. Like I said, Patrick Moynihan did that. We used to do a seminar on that a long time ago. But some people have taken welfare and become rich. I can be perfect examples, the Arabs, Miami, the Cubans. There's ways to utilize welfare, everybody. You do not have to be on welfare and stay in profound poverty. You can just look at some of the things that happen here. And Last, I want to make a comment on what the brother was saying about how we can get together with the male and female. We got to sit down and say that, you know, the egos got to get taken down a level. A lot of us are very egotistical, both male and female. We've been taught that we are the boss and we got to be overbearing. No, that's not how it was designed to be, that we're overbearing. Each one of us got a place. And each one of us got a position that plays a certain role. And the woman is a very important role in the lives of all humanity. Unfortunately, she's been taken down to her own doing. Because if you're calling yourself a bitch on Hollywood Wives or Atlanta Housewives, you are projecting that image yourself. So some of these things, and I'd like to say on our show, we need personal accountability in so many ways. And I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to continue to keep listening. And like I say, I look forward to y'all Wednesday. I like to make sure.
Yes, sir.
And our brother, I talked to my brother. I think he's out of Tampa. Brother, he said he's going to come on and DJ
Spirit. Brother Craig.
He said he's going to be
DJ
Spirit.
Yeah, he's down in the
state.
He's down there with you. He's up there the Tampa area. And this is Dry Bones, Greg, and True Freeman. He has a blog talk show on he has a blog talk show on Wednesday. And he's another great brother,
that's
man,
right.
That talks about a lot of the
lot of
things that are going on today.
Freeman. I heard of some of his stuff. I would rather ask him on when I get talked to, because a lot of people go to court. And they ask, why are we going to court so much, first of all? That's one question I get asked a lot. I guess I'll ask it at an appropriate time, is why are we always in court?
We need to have a show on that. But I'll be on Dry Bones show next Wednesday. And I'll let y'all know the time. But, yeah, another great brother. I'm glad you were here, man. I thought about you. Told Layla to reach out to you, see if you can come on. But I know you work during the day. But this brother is really deep, Dry Bones. He gets into a lot of the information that we talk about. So, Greg, that's a good connection, as well as True Freeman. We may do a show, man. Come on over there and chop it up on these topics. So let me get in and get the Unique and the Queen in.
Okay.
And
appreciate it.
You
do your thing, brother. Do your thing.
What you say, Greg? That was that you?
Yeah, that's me. I talked to Dry Bones yesterday for a little while,
oh, okay.
And one of the reasons we were in court is because we haven't figured out a way. And again, I don't know if I said it, and I don't know if it's okay, but you know, I did have that webinar about how to on Sunday prepare yourself for court.
Okay.
And I talked to Dry Bones about it, and you know, you're like the 15th person that's told me that a lot of people don't plan strategy going into these venues. But I think Dry Bones wants to have a conversation with Squid, so Squid's always in the cage looking for an outlet. So Squid.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna do a call on that. But you know, brother Greg is having a webinar on Sunday on doing that, and you know, you can get him at on his email address that he's given. If not, you can email us at debtshow@yahoo.com. And I'll definitely make the connection for you. Sister Unique and Layla, why don't y'all just come on in, because I know y'all been chomping at the bit. Appreciate your patience. Come on in and Unique said, she loaded up. Y'all better sit back, put your seatbelt on, put your roller coaster straps on, because I know Sister Unique, she probably done drank the shake, and she about to go in like an oil rig.
How'd you know? You are absolutely correct. I got pages of stuff from last week and from this week. So, buddy, we gonna talk today. I understand. First of all, greetings to everyone. Love being on here, and this is home to me. So it's my brother, and to Greg, that was one of the first times I really was able to sit and listen to your host. That was awesome. Awesome. Beautiful. Beautiful. I've already directed people in your way and all kinds of stuff. Like, there's some people coming to you through me already. I had listened to you from before, and when I listened to you today, I was like, he on point. So just know you're going to have some people coming my way from my family. But like I said, you're excellent. I love your thoroughness. Thank you again for all your information. And now I'm going to talk on this topic. Yama said that we need to change our mindset. And she's absolutely correct, as always. Hey, Mama, how you doing? But she's correct. She is absolutely correct. Our mindset is messed up because
our consumption is messed up. Everything is messed up. Like True Freeman said, the prison is not just the prison system. It is the system in general. This is calculated things that they have been doing. And a lot of people are throwing things out there, not from this show, but from just listening around blog talk. People keep throwing out different stuff, and people are blaming each other. And nobody is coming together and understanding exactly what needs to happen. Everybody is at fault. Everybody has fell victim to this consumption of America. Everyone has. If you're in a prison system or you're not in a prison system, you have. Women, especially us, I understand where they're coming from when they're talking about this welfare thing, but that's not the whole story. The whole story behind everything is that this calculated defense or this calculated war that we've been waged against, and I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you look like. It's all of us. All of us, especially women. Why and how that is and what they're doing is this. The true attack has been on us through our men. We are the givers of life. If we see our sons, our fathers, and our husbands get pulled apart, put in the ground, can't work, go to jail, what emotional impact do you think that that's going to have on the people that gave them life? What do you think that that does to us? We understand it is your life that's being taken, but that life was given to you by someone. Everybody has a neighbor. So how do you think it makes us feel? The psychological damage that has been done on the female, let alone the melanated female, has been extreme. And no one wants to go ahead and talk about the real. I'm going to talk about the real because it is extreme. All the things that you guys go through, we go through them tenfold. We see it, and they make sure that we see it to dampen us. Everyone says we're always hyper-emotional. Women are hyper-emotional. Why do you think we're hyper-emotional? They put us in this realm for a reason. When you see that, and then you are told that you are nothing, on a regular basis, when you are raped, beaten, or any kind of abuse you want to put out there, and it's okay. It's okay because nothing has been done about that, nothing. And I'm not on here to talk about how women are victims. I'm on here to actually talk about balance. But first I have to address what everybody thinks was going on with women. It's not the fact that we just think that I've never been on welfare. I've been married for 15 years. My husband is the father of both of my children, and I'm only 33. I know the struggle. I know what I speak of. I'm not just talking out the side of my neck. I've been through the struggle. I've been through people when we walk in a place and people look at us crazy because we're a family, when all four of us walk in there. Just like in the movies, all the chatter stops, that's what we go through on a regular basis. My husband was told not to do the marriage thing. So I understand to a whole nother degree. So I'm just going to put that out there. But when the attack emotionally is on us because they are taking what we are given, when you throw on the fact that most of the time women are paid 88 cents on the dollar, so you take away that financial effect, you take away any kind of skills because what are we going to be able to do when we have these kids? Our husband can't have our boyfriend, husband, our man in our life don't have a job, can't get a job, or he's in prison, or he's done everything else. Then what do you expect her to do? And when you are looked at as just a piece of property or something just to be had, what is she supposed to do? What do you think is going to happen? Exactly what they wanted to happen, which was aggression. And men have become passive. The roles have been reversed. We are supposed to be magnets. We are supposed to attract them. It is not the other way around. We are supposed to use our intuitiveness to get them. It is not the other way around, but that is what is happening. The dynamic has changed. Women are now overly aggressive, and men are passive. They don't want to deal with that because they already have so much extra to deal with. And they've been dealing with that their entire life of this aggressive woman always on him about what? When she ain't right, she doing all this other stuff. When we focus on what has really went on and really see what the damage has been done, we start to get a better understanding. This is nothing but history repeating itself. This is nothing but a system that they have created that they have just taken and they've spread it all across America. That's all they've done. So when you understand that they have taken the men and they have unbalanced the women and they have taken everything a woman can possibly try to get and put her in a Rosie the Riveter, World War II, which was actually an African-American riveter during World War II, woman that was obviously a single mother because her man was off at war. But this wasn't just an African-American thing. This was a woman thing. And then they tell us we can be our own best friends. And then they tell us, oh, you can be independent. And then they hype it up and they are consumption. Everything is based off of our consumption. When we realize as women who we are and what we are, like I said, everybody has a navel. We take that power back and we put it where it's supposed to be placed. Greg Doss made an analogy about the chessboard, how the king can do so much. But what is the purpose of chess? To protect the queen at all times. It's in the games, people. That is his job as the king, to be able to maneuver enough, because that is why that king is by her side, because she might not be able to maneuver because she's not supposed to. She's supposed to sit, think, create, and be passive and be a queen and be a lady. But he will make sure that all things around her is protected, and he will put an army in front of her to make sure that the society, that the village, that the community, that whatever you want to call it, is where it's supposed to be. This is about balance. It's not about placing blame. That's what this whole thing is about. An elder told me a couple weeks ago, marriage is the curriculum. I had no idea. But it is, because that is the universe. If the universe is made of the two basic things of electricity and magnetism, and we are the magnets and men are the electricity, and that is how things work, that is how things are created, why do we think that it's going to be different anywhere else? Why do we think that? We think that because of our consumption and the things that they decide to give us and show us by the foods, by the televisions, and by being in the system, by historically distorting everything that's been around, telling us for years, especially Christians, oh, we only been here for a couple thousand years. Now as the information age is coming out, now all this information is coming out, but we need to accept the information for what it is and understand it's not about the woman being on top or the man being on top. It's about being a king and being a queen and having the balance. Because once you have that person, that king that can protect and to provide, and you have that woman that's there to create and build, what do you think is going to happen? What is that? That is polarity. It is the two into one. It takes two to make a child. And it takes two to not just make it, but to plant it. After the seed is planted, it still needs to be nurtured. It still needs to be watered. It still needs to be fed. It still needs to grow. But if you don't want to do that, then women, close your legs. It don't matter what they do no more. Everybody has a navel. Everybody. To change your mindset, the only thing you need to do is have a better understanding of who and what you are. They will come along. Don't worry about what they're doing. All they want to do is what they were put here to do, and that is protect and provide. We are supposed to think and create. That's why we have damn near two brains. If you look at our uterus, it has almost as many nerve endings as the brain does. That's why women are emotional. We have a womb. There are things that we have that everyone that is given to be able to do what you're supposed to do. If we come to that understanding, a lot of things will change. It wouldn't matter what religion you are because you have that understanding of natural law. It doesn't matter who or what you believe in. Just as long as you know that you need to at least believe in who and what you are. Because if you don't, we're not going to go anywhere. If you don't, you're going to think you're a bitch like the, excuse my language, Yama. But you're going to think that when you're watching Love and Hip Hop. You're going to think that when you're drinking cow's milk. You're going to think these stupid things, these parasitic things, because that is what you're putting in your body. That is what you're choosing to consume. But if you want to restore your family, if you want to restore everything that you are, then do that. You have the opportunity to do that because that's what God, that is your God-given right as a woman, as a creator, to do that. Take your stance and understand that regardless of if you are in behind bars or you are in a cubicle, you are still in a prison system. You really are. That is why it feels the same. They take in that prison system and it's the same thing. We react to bails because that is what our education system has us to do. We react to structure because that is what our civilization has made us do. We have been ingrained with many things that we have to stop. We don't have a choice. We must work together. We must work in balance. And we must stop placing blame on each other. I was a victim of it also. And that's something else. The victim stuff has to end. I'm tired of people whining and crying about this, that, and the third. We're going to deal with these mommy-daddy issues, get on natural law like we're supposed to be, and operate as the universe says we are supposed to be operating, and all things will be healed. But until then, we keep acting like the men are going to just go over here and do this, and the women. It don't work that way. It does not work that way. When communities are built, communities are built by with family, not with a bunch of single women and one husband. Really, that works. If we are to build something, we have to understand our place as people. We cannot continue to sit up here and do the same thing over and over again. If we want things to change, then we have to simply stop being tolerant and are comfortable. Because we're comfortable being tolerant right now. I said that wrong. We're comfortable being tolerant. We need to become intolerant.
Indeed.
We have to. So that's what I have to say. All these single women and these independent women stuff, stop that bullshit. Stop that. I'm sick of that. Love me for me. Cut it out. What about you? What about what he brings to the table? Stop telling me what you have to do and tell me what you need to be doing. But this independent, oh, I'm going to do it by myself. You're not meant to do it by yourself. You didn't make that child by yourself. I know. I was 19. And yes, I've said many times, my daughter, I was foolish. I fell to it. But you know what I did? I went to the man and I said, look here, we did this, and if we love this child enough, we're going to have at least that in common, and we're going to at least try to work this out. And 15 freaking years later, I made that decision in 19. It was easy, but it wasn't simple. Get out of this dependency of being this. Get out of this dependency of the government.
I like what you said when you said, you know, what about his happiness? Greg, give me your assessment of something you said yesterday about men that say, and then I'm going to bring Layla in, men that say, well, just keep her happy or something of the sort. You had an interesting response that I chuckled at. Do you remember your response when you say,
why you do this to me? Squid, heck you said. It was this feckless thing about the happy life, happy wife. And,
right.
And there's a lot of guys who subscribe to that, but and, you know, that's one of the reasons why so many guys die early, because they buy into silly theories that essentially put your happiness behind somebody else's. And I was always taught that a marriage was two people being responsible for one another. And it's definitely degenerated to simply what kind of is going to feel good now. Nobody really thinks about, you know, the decision you make 10 years from now. How is this decision today going to affect everything involved 10 years from now? Mm-hmm. And so I'll leave on that one and let Squid going back into the cage.
No, I agree.
Layla, come on
I
in.
I agree with what Jeff is saying. Go ahead, Layla.
Greetings, everyone. Yes, this has been an excellent dialogue, and I just would say, you know, we've begun by communicating. There's a swelling all around the country. I'm feeling it, and we see what's happening around the world. There's a swelling. People are getting back to the basics, and that's what I'm hearing. You know, when I heard Yama, Rudy and Yama come out and talk about how things were when they were growing up, we're talking about getting back to the basics, and it starts with the communication. From what I understand, you know, from psychologists, I have a friend who's a psychologist, and she said the number one cause for divorce is, you know, you would think it might be money, but it's lack of communication. So we're all coming together and we're communicating, which is the first step to being able to air those ideas will be the first step for a healing, because a healing has to come before any changes can be made. You know, and I wanted to just ask everyone to, you know, after everything you've heard everyone say, you know, just ask, you know, answer the question, what changes in your life are you willing to make right now that's going to affect you in a positive fashion, which will ultimately affect your family and all of the people around you? You know, we're in this war, you know, Brother Shreve started at the top of the hour, a war. We're warring with principalities. We're warring with the standards that our ancestors upheld. We've lost the way, and we need to come back to that way. Everything has a cycle, and we're at that cycle now where things are coming back to where they were. You know, in light of everything that was discussed, and, you know, I just always tend to want to just look at everything from a perspective. I look at things from a peripheral perspective. You know, I can definitely get down into some of the basics. I'm married. I shared, you know, yesterday we were on the phone. I'm married to my first boyfriend. So I've been in a monogamous relationship ever since my late teens. And so I don't have some of the same issues that I'm hearing about. You know, we had some marital issues. We are currently separated at this point in time. But one of the things that we decided along the way through the journey was that we would always make sure we stay together for the children. That was what our primary goal was. And so in light of that, you know, our children, I mean, you know, as parents, we always think that we could have done something a little bit better. But, you know, I'm just really grateful for the fact that I feel like we've done the best job that we possibly could do so that we could raise productive citizens in the world, and they're out there going ahead and they're doing some things. But as I look at things from the peripheral, some of the associations that I've had along my wonderful adventurous journey in life, I look at society, you know, and what society, when I say society, I'm talking about the media. You know, we just heard, you know, Unique talk about, you know, let me just pause for a second. You know, when I was growing up, I heard, you know, Rudy and Yama talk about how, you know, the system wasn't existent, with the welfare system I'm talking about, it wasn't in existence. So I remember my family coming to live with us because they needed a way. I didn't understand as a child all of the things that were going on, but I understood that we needed to help the family that came to live with us and several people along the way down the line in later years. And then whenever they got on their feet, they moved on. You know, and it's just something that families did to help each other. I have an uncle who of mine who's told me a story about his uncle who happened to be, you know, you heard about the Bowery Boys, but when he was the one that was a more prominent one in the family, and when anybody and everybody needed something, he was the one that was the provider for everybody, not only his family, but for every other family that needed assistance. And I'm only presuming that this was somewhere in the Depression back in the late, you know, 20s, the early 30s. You know, it was his responsibility to take care of everybody. Apparently, that may have driven him a little off the edge. He separated himself from the family and went to go live underground. But that's what families did. They came together and they helped each other. They worked through the matters at hand, and you know, they got through it.
Let me give them a chance to respond to it. Let me give True Freeman a chance to respond on that. He's a family man. His family's still together. I don't know necessarily. Maybe Greg will chime in. We got about 13 minutes left, but I know this was one of the points that. That families made and sacrifices that they stayed together for the kids. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Look, I agree with it for the sake of the kids, but are we suffering during that time as adults?
But that's not what that's about. That's not what that's about, though, Sharice. I don't like that. I don't like that when that is a decision that people are making. Okay, that, like I said, that's a decision that people are making. If you get into a relationship like myself, like what I did. I got into the relationship saying I love this little girl enough to try. Now, when I say try, it has everything to do with her but nothing to do with her. Because if I'm going to try to be into this relationship, I'm not going to be suffering because I'm going to give my all into this relationship. And so is he. I have to be present enough in myself to understand that, yes, this is something that happened, but I'm going to try to be the best wife that I can be. I'm going to make sure that he tries to be the best husband that he can be. So I don't like when people say that. They sit up there and they say, oh, well, we did it for the kid. That's great that you did it for the kid. That is awesome. But there comes a time and point where you have to also make that decision that, okay, wait a minute, what about this relationship? You know, you have to take that step. At 19, I had to take that step, and I took that step, and I said I was going to be a wife.
All right, I got you. True Freeman, what do you think about that?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Well, it's like I don't agree with the family staying together for the kids because, like, with Sister Unique, if I understood her correctly on her last part, it's like, you know, what about the relationship? I don't like a couple that would stay together knowing that they don't like being around each other or want to be with each other for the sake of the kids. Because think about it, these kids are smarter than what we give them credit for, and they see when their parents don't want to be together, and they see the fussing and situations in the relationship. Although they feel staying in the same household, they doing it for the kids, and in fact, I think it's actually may hurt the kids a little bit more because they end up seeing this. A lot of people don't believe that these kids can pick up the signs. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I mean, you want to be there for the kids. Or are we doing it for the kids? What you should do for the kids is if y'all, you know, don't want to be with each other, you know, you have to be able to separate and respect one another and appreciate one another because y'all both play a part in y'all kids' life and do that in the best interest for the kid. You don't have to stay together.
It's not about the kids, though. It's about the family. It's more than just the children. It's about the family. If you're saying, and no matter what age you are, if you're saying, I want a family, then you're going into a family, period. It's not about just the children. It's about what you're willing to give yourself.
All right. And I think that's what you meant, Unique, but I think it also can be taken the other way. I'm going to get Greg to comment on it.
Okay.
I think it can be taken the other way. We said stay together, you know, for the kids. Maybe the kids is one of the elements that you are staying together, but, I mean, Greg's a single man. I'm a single man. How many times are you running to women that's married or with somebody, and, you know, you can tell that their eyes is drifting and you can feel the energy because they're not really happy. I think I had parents that stayed together and, you know, came home, you know, dad stayed out all night, wanted to stay away, we, you know, and then we go to, you know, we go to church and, you know, he's really up there on the side and she's back there in the back. It's all a facade. So, you know, I don't think that's healthy as well.
A little bit to what I said, let's think about this. If we do that and if we stay together in a relationship and we say we're doing it for the kids, knowing damn well we don't like each other, we hate each other guts, we in the house rolling our eyes, all this old different shit.
But that's disrespect.
That is going to have an effect.
Okay, hold on. Let me
let
Greg respond on that. That's right.
Oh, man, I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that. Anyway,
Now, true
feeling
is right.
I don't believe in marriage.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm just saying my situation is a little different. I don't believe in the marriage thing because I know what a marriage is. But as far as the commitment, that is there. The covenant is there. With that being said, people who don't get along don't need to be together, because for all of us who are conscious, and I know that you all have been involved in this a lot longer than me, isn't that a spirit? That energy creates energy energy can sit on top of people. So if you come in there and you don't get along, I have to agree with the guys. You should never create a volatile situation because the kids will become a part of that energy.
Exactly.
So if you can't get one of the problems is, quite honestly, going back to one of my original statements is, kids aren't made from love. So you can't create love. What did my boy Felipe Wynn say, bless the dead? It takes a fool to learn that love don't love nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all like that, huh? That's a DJ Squeak.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I wanted to raise this point.